What's poppin', everybody? Welcome to New Week. It's the Monday show with Drew and Mark and Jay in the DealsInTheD.com studios. And little thrown together today because my sisters are in town getting my mom moved out of her independent living apartment.
How's that going?
Oh.
Any more fines?
No, not yet. But, boy, a lot of junk. Just
yeah.
A lot of junk.
There could be some fines.
I mean, just a lot of junk. 65 bags worth of junk. Yeah. And now more junk. A storage area that was unknown.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and then...
It's like Storage Wars.
This would be the worst deal for Storage Wars in the history of Storage Wars. I'm telling you, there's nothing of value. Nothing but papers.
Oh, man.
There may be some illness going on here. Receipts for stuff for, 20 years ago that I don't know why anybody keep receipts for them.
Oh, boy.
A lot of old pictures and just, I would just say, just burn the apartment down and build it over for 40 grand. They're going to take that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they want to charge that ridiculous amount to redo it. Any budging on that?
Not yet. Some people are saying, though, you could build that size apartment for $40,000.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Honestly, I wouldn't be either. And that would probably cover appliances and carpeting.
Yeah, I don't even know why they
furniture.
I don't even know why they need to replace the appliances.
It's crazy. It is crazy. Well,
that sucks.
I know.
That sounds like a fun weekend.
Well, I wasn't really doing any of the work. My sisters have been doing all the work,
yeah.
But it's still just stunning. And, a lot of it. Do you want the? No. Do you want? No. Do you want? Do you, no. Do, no. No.
It's just
no.
Mentally exhausting.
Yeah, they know. They know I don't want stuff. But it's hard. I think they're having a hard time. There's some stuff that, by rights, somebody should want, but I'm not sure people really do. And it's a matter of getting a U-Haul and dragging it back to Chicago.
Ooh.
I know.
No
pain
thanks.
In the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, there is some stuff that's worth taking, I guess. It's worth the trouble. But it's weird. Now my mom is in assisted living, and she's so... Oh, my God.
I mean, she doing better?
A little bit. Her memories are... she has... My father's fallen off the radar now. Does not remember him. Does not know who he is.
Wow.
She remembers an aunt, though, that surprised everyone today. Wow, she remembers Aunt Doris. Holy shit.
Did you know who Aunt Doris is?
Yeah, I know who she is. Barely. But, yeah, the dementia's just gotten so far. And the same questions over and over and over. And I'm surprised she hasn't asked about what happened to her apartment and her stuff. That hasn't hit her yet. I hope it doesn't because it's going to be all gone soon. But
how about the neighbors? Is the bridge adversary happy to see her go over there?
She's forgotten about the bridge adversary.
Oh, good.
Although she burned off a lot of energy on her. I think she might miss her.
Well, maybe you need adversaries in life.
Yeah.
Things to be angry at.
Her defaced picture probably is still there, though. At least some memory of that. Anyway, let's see. Not much going on today, but we'll find some things to talk about here. But first, Zot, Ford, and Holly is one of the largest volume F-150 dealers in our area, so they can offer Drew and Mike listeners ridiculous deals. Just ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Purchase a new 16 Ford F-150 Supercab XLT 4x4. It's just $33,000. There you go.
That's ridiculous.
Let's try. Yeah, that sounded ridiculous, didn't it? 16 Ford F-150 Supercab XLT 4x4 at just $33,000. I was so stunned by the price I couldn't read it.
That's ridiculous.
That's over $14,000.
I thought I misheard it. I was so stunned.
I know. Everybody's a little shocked here. That's over $14,000 off sticker, or at least a new 17 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4 at just $199 a month. Peep their ferocious deals and massive inventory. They've never asked us to peep at them before. I like that. At DealsInTheD.com. It sounds kind of fun.
This is ridiculous.
Also, that might be my favorite ridiculous of the bunch. We've got a lot of them.
This is ridiculous.
Also, Zot Ford has a phenomenal employment opportunity. They're accepting apps for all levels of auto technicians, A-techs, B-techs, lube techs, diesel, trans, even Ford senior master certified techs. With their freshly renovated and expanded state-of-the-art service department, they need top caliber techs looking for a world-class culture with industry-leading wages and perks. Wow.
I think it's ridiculous. They should do something about that.
If this is you,
rules.
Go to ZotFord.com and click on Join Our Team or stop by and see our friend Steve Gabara. Or you can write me and I'll write you a letter of recommendation like I did the last guy. I don't know if he got the job or not. But remember the guy who wrote sent an email? And I from his emails, I was able to cobble together a recommendation.
So it's not just a copy and paste thing.
No, not at all.
Very personalized.
Finally, be sure to swing by Zotford and Holly, toss your hat in the ring to have dinner with us. We only have a couple of weeks left before the drawing. At least go in there and make it look like lots of people want to have dinner with us, if nothing else. Plus, when you buy or lease a new or used vehicle, you triple your chance of winning. And I guess people are actually putting their hat in the ring, so we'll be eating with somebody.
We should be eating dinner together.
And then, where did that come from?
Wait, that's Cordell, isn't it? Yeah.
If anything, we should be eating dinner together.
They have what they call lunch break procedures at Dr. Roche's office. For example, some of these, I wouldn't think they were lunch break kind of things, like, you know, hair removal and varicose veins. And then you can also take years off your appearance if you'd like firmer, more youthful-looking skin without surgery or injections. Then call and ask about Skin Tight. The Skyton Skin Tight treatment uses pulsed light technology to deeply heat your skin while cooling and protecting the entire treatment surface. The infrared heat promotes the... I'm just off the top of my head, by the way.
Well, you know, I saw you studying it.
The infrared heat promotes the natural healing process and creates a renewed collagen foundation. What that means is basically it's renewing collagen,
yeah.
Leading to firmer skin. That's what happens when you get to be an old bag. Your collagen stops happening, so they're going to make it happen for you. Skin Tight is comfortable and safe, and since the procedure is non-invasive, there's no downtime. I might have even done this myself. Hey. If not, I think I will. You can return to your regular activities immediately following your appointment. Skin Tight treatments can be performed on any area of your body.
Any area?
Yeah. Yes,
area. Even your bag?
Probably. You know somebody has done that laser on their bag. You know it.
Skin Tight, it's like taking a Ziploc bag and squeezing all the air out of it.
Some cosmetic surgeon has gone, God, I wonder if it would work on there.
Of course. Well, hey, how else are you going to know? Things it can do.
It can't cause any harm. Why not? I'm just going to try this and see what happens. Comes home with a completely unwrinkled bag. His wife is shocked.
But it's really tight.
You can't have sex for years until the treatment wears off. Dr. Roche will customize a treatment plan just for you, but you have to call 248-338-1110. 248-338-1110. Look younger, look your best with Dr. Roche and the Skyton Skin Tight procedure. You know, we send all our reads over there now, so somebody over at the office is going to have to hear that.
Sorry. I had that as soon as you said it. I had it in my head, and I wasn't going to say anything until you said anywhere.
No, it was about to cross
testing,
my mind.
I was putting my toe in the water.
Why not? Somebody's done it. I guarantee
of
somebody's
course.
Done it. You know they've done it.
It's the first place they probably try things on.
We were talking about one of the big stories over the weekend. Like I said, slow week. Aretha could be possibly her final performance in the Motor City.
And what a performance it wasn't.
We have always followed Aretha carefully in her many moods. And she wore a big dress. I'll tell you that much for sure. That much I can promise you. She wore a very large dress.
The Free Press described it as dressed in a gorgeous white ball gown with gold accents.
Okay. I guess that could be deemed true. She took an hour to get out of the car. The show was supposed to start at 6. And for some reason, they did say she was under the weather. She's under the weather an awful lot, isn't she?
Yeah, she even said she was under the weather. She said, keep me in your prayers!
Yeah.
Everybody immediately reads as, ooh,
she's dying. She had to be escorted to the stage. I mean, this was planned, though, by the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, but why were they hiding out in her car forever?
That's a good question. I don't know. And then
they're making out.
It wasn't enough to escort her. I mean, that was enough. Actually, I should say Debbie Stabenow had to introduce her. Jesse couldn't handle that duty, apparently.
Well, not only Debbie Stabenow, but Gerald McBride from WMXD.
Oh, Gerald McBride as well.
It was a two-person job to interview her.
Why would Debbie Stabenow? I mean, that is so dumb.
It's really stupid, but, you know, it's the perfect thing to jump on because it is a Detroit, you know, they changed the name of the street, so it is like a city event.
Yeah, it turns into this political thing.
Which, you know, any chance to jump on that stage?
But honestly, I know, how silly, though, Debbie Stabenow. What does she have to do with Aretha Franklin?
Nothing. Zero.
Silly. Why don't I have Smokey or somebody if it's her last performance?
But they introduced her, and yeah, the band played for, what, 15, 20 minutes while they waited for Aretha?
Yeah.
Did Debbie stay on stage the whole time?
A good question. I don't know. That's so awkward and weird for the crowd.
Oh, my. I would thoroughly enjoy that if I was there just watching the awkwardness.
But then also, she played for 25 minutes, and then she took a long break, apparently. And, like, I was reading the comments. Stacey Gittleman. It was an honor to be in her presence, even in the heat. Everyone in the crowd even thought it was hot, was kind and patient. We all had a great time, a great coming together. You could feel the harmony all coming together to celebrate the Queen of Soul, Stacey Gittleman, Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
Then Carolyn comes in. I hope she knows how very much she is appreciated here in her hometown. I believe in giving the flowers while those we want to honor are still here. I hope Miss Franklin considers the crowds that came out for her this weekend those flowers.
Oh, God.
And I quote.
I'm sure she hasn't thought about you once.
Carolyn Bright, Detroit, Michigan. What's the flowers thing? Then Norman Wall comes in and just blows everything out of the water.
Norman! Let's see. She's an hour late and only sang for 25 minutes, then alluded to another mysterious ailment. Ho-hum, nothing new here. Was that Norman Wolk?
Yes.
Are you reading on the Free Press or the news?
Free Press.
That's funny, because he commented in the news story about her as well.
Oh, he's a veritable... Yes. Who's my man? Who?
Norman Wolk? Oh, a veritable Thomas Fiorini?
Thomas Fiorini, yeah. He goes everywhere to comment.
Norman Wolk, who works at the School of Life...
I know. Isn't that funny?
Commented, I get tired of Aretha and her mysterious illnesses. Remember when her people started rumors she had cancer? The mysteriously was better and walking in Walmart? She's past her prime and time to retire.
Ooh.
Norman!
Then Mary Shelley follows that up all the way from the United Kingdom. What was your great contribution to the arts again, Norman? It takes a special kind of stupid to trash Aretha Franklin.
Not really.
Mary Shelley, London, UK. Michael Roscoe. Took a break, came back and sang another set. 75 years old, hot out, and she gave me time to grab some waters. Great show.
Oh, yeah, that's why she did it, for him to grab.
Apparently.
I'm going to take a break so this guy can grab some waters.
Michael decides he's not done and has to write another little note. Norman, did you leave early? She came back strong. We thought it was over early also, but stuck around. Glad we did. Michael Fetzer. Too bad the event was tainted by the likes of the honorable, in quotes, Jesse Jackson. Opa Carl then follows that up with, too bad you're obviously so self-centered, you think it's about you.
What?
What does it mean? What's about you? What's about him?
Apparently, Jesse Jackson's so self-centered, he thought it was about him.
Jeez. Then Michael Roscoe's back.
Uh-oh.
Didn't hear Jesse singing, trying to figure out how he tainted the show, asshat. let's see, one more comment. Oh, it's Michael Roscoe again. It was a great event with a really fun crowd of people. Detroit put on a great show. Congrats. Okay. What are the news comments like?
I find this article deceptive. Ms. Franklin was on stage for only 25 minutes. Aretha, Debbie Stabenow, and Jesse Jackson. Was this a concert? A Ringling Brothers Circus!
I love it.
And then John, thank you, Ms. Franklin, for making Detroit so great. What has she done to make Detroit so great?
Oh, she's done to make Detroit so great.
Nothing brings down a show faster than having blowhard politicians show up and ruining, and running their yaps. Can't those dopes ever go away or watch the show from a distance? Like in Canada!
You know, honestly, that's what I meant.
Canada.
Who wants to hear Debbie Stabenow
introduce
anyone?
No one.
Oh, Duggan was out there too. What if that's the other event, or it's probably all done from the stage, I bet.
I would think so.
Now, I'm confused. Is this a 25-minute concert, or was there another 75 minutes, like Michael Roscoe says?
I don't know. That guy said it was only 25 minutes. As he said. Now, this is the whole
Apparently,
article.
This delay was long, because it sounds like people left.
The 75-year-old sat in a chair on the stage for several songs and seated the stage to Jackson and Mississippi gospel duo the Williams Brothers for two other songs.
What?
She was helped on and off stage by members of her entourage. She only took the stage when she was ready. nothing's changed there. That's when they say the 6 p.m. start time. She didn't get in there until 7. After the intros by Debbie Stabenow and WMXD's Gerald McBride, whose intros revolve by an extended period of awkward silence. I'll hold up a few hundred feet away. Franklin was inside her car parked on Madison, waiting to exit. Her band was already on stage and started queuing up instrumentals, including Natural Woman and Think. When commotion surrounded her vehicle, she finally emerged flanked by Jesse Jackson.
Commotion?
Yeah, probably.
I want to see what they
Aretha,
call
it. The band's on stage! They've been playing for 20 minutes and running out of stuff to play! And she got up there and said, "Hello, Detroit." And she opened with, "I knew you were waiting." The crowd gave Franklin a warm welcome, shouting, "Your Majesty! We love you, Aretha!"
What? Your Majesty?
Well, come on. Who else is going to go down there? Let's see. Always one to single out friends, family, and VIPs in the crowd, she pointed out former Detroit councilwoman Joanne Watson. I'm sure the crowd got off on that.
Who gives a shit?
And later shouted out Mary Wilson of the Supremes, former boxing champ Tommy Hearns. Duggan was there. Duggan was also on hand and presented Franklin with the key to the city of Detroit midway through the show, saying the key was Detroit's highest show of R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Which she didn't play, by the way.
How can she?
That was supposed to be her encore, and she blew it off.
You know what? This article says 95-minute, 13-song set.
Okay, so it wasn't 25 minutes. No. She apparently took a long break.
She pointed out Tommy Hearns at one point, and then she brought up Sugar Ray Leonard for some reason and said, "He sure is cute." And then she says, "If you want to holla." So apparently, if Sugar Ray Leonard wanted to, he could go bang Aretha.
Yeah.
You want to hear
some? By the way, there's one shot of her, and I noticed this on M Live too. There's a pretty major frontal tooth that is missing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just like the national anthem. Remember when she did the long 8-minute national anthem?
I'm sure she can't afford the dental work or have anything temporary put in there for an important show like this.
This is her singing on stage. Great quality, M Live. Man, I think she's been doing some. I think she's been working on her triceps.
Let me see.
You sure?
Oh boy.
Her hair looks nice.
Looks like she hasn't had it dyed in a couple months.
Yeah, got some pretty strong roots.
Yeah, like 3 inches, 5 inches maybe. It sounds like we're really dogging Aretha. I'm just trying to state facts here.
I think she. This is the sad part. I think she is losing a lot of weight, as witnessed by, you notice her watch location?
Oh, yeah.
Most people don't change the size of their watch.
Yeah, it's falling up her arm.
Yeah, it's about halfway down her forearm.
Oh. Did you see she had a little trouble with Adele's Rolling in the Deep?
Why was Sissy Houston there?
No.
That was the song they did on Letterman.
Just says she grappled to pinpoint the right key over the lone plunking bass note that opens the song.
Oh.
And she seemed to lose steam as the show neared its end, giving a subdued vocal performance in the band's ebullient Freeway of Love attack. Amid the band's ebullient Freeway of Love attack. Boy, you want to write this so somebody can understand it? Wordy there. But as she headed off the stage, escorted to her waiting car through a crush of fans outside the gates, the feat was already well in the bag. For one more night at least, Aretha Franklin had laid it all out for Detroit.
Wait, was the band still playing when she left? Because that would be awesome. They were played before she got there, and then they were still playing when she just got her car.
I would bet good money they were. And Detroit proved happy to love her right back.
How big was the crowd?
I don't know. I bet you they had a great crowd for this. I would think. I really would. I'm just guessing.
There's some sweet feedback on that song. Just wandering by a speaker.
You know, I kind of like the way Aretha just is like, fuck everybody. I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm doing what I want to do it. It's a little annoying, but she is 75. You know, she's done a few of these. Although she could certainly do more if she would only get on an airplane.
She's pretty demanding.
Yeah, but she's, you know, that's part of being a star.
I suppose.
Just trying to give her a small break.
Well,
we haven't given her many.
The small break is that she's 75.
Yeah.
She's still performing.
The last few times I've seen her sing, she's got an amazing voice.
I'm watching the Letterman with Sissy Houston. So Aretha's
so weird.
Aretha's singing Rolling in the Deep, and there's 5 background singers, 4 which are, you know, dancing along and singing, and Sissy Houston is standing there just staring off into the distance, not singing behind
the
mic. No,
and she doesn't know the dance moves either.
No.
She's clearly there for the paycheck.
She's not doing anything. Oh, that is great.
Did you find the phone number for the Coleman Young?
Yeah.
Jay has it now.
This Coleman Young story is really funny. I can't believe I'm calling him Coleman Young. Yeah, Joel Loving. He's running against Duggan, of course, and getting pretty hammered in the polls. And suddenly, you know, website's pretty damn important, I would say, mm-hmm. especially if you're running for mayor. You've got to have a website. You've got to have instructions and, you know, your platform and all that. And suddenly, Thursday, Coleman Young's website is down due to non-payment.
Uh-oh.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
That just doesn't sound very good.
Did you see the excuse or the comment from Adolph Mungo, his campaign manager?
Well, they said that he said he was going to do it for free, and then they said it's not very good, the website.
Yeah, but
why are they using it?
But he also said that it's sour grapes and it's no big deal. Well, if you can't support that or pay that bill, how do you expect to run a city?
No, it's total BS. It's preposterous. It's a joke. And I believe the guy that did the website, because why would they have paid him so far? Because they yeah. apparently have paid him for certain services, and then all of a sudden they're saying, oh no, it was supposed to be free. Mm-hmm. So we stopped paying, and he took the thing down, and he said he had to really bust their ass to get paid for anything. Campaign initially paid $530 for costs associated with creation and monthly maintenance, which he said he would usually charge $4,000.
Seems a little steep. By the way, nice choosing a developer from the city.
Yeah, he's in West Bloomfield. They paid another $200 in April. Yeah, it's funny how everybody demands that you hire all these city people and then for their campaigns.
Well, that was his big thing was, you know, jobs for the neighborhood. Well, yeah. Here's the first one he actually could have provided, and he chose not to.
And he stiffs them.
Yeah.
Burnham said he's been stiff for the last 2 months on payment due for unlimited website page updates and social media pages under agreement he said was to extend through August. Now he's out $400. That issue prompted the company to suspend the site. Basically, he's been pulling teeth to get paid for this site since we did. We've been going round and round. You know, if Mongo says, he acknowledges the dispute, but says it's just sour grapes and no big deal. He contends Burnham volunteered to put the website together for free, then later, out of the blue, began invoicing the campaign. Young campaign initially obliged. Why would they oblige? First of all, they say the site's not very good, so they accept less than quality work. Yeah. I mean, why should this guy do a free website for them anyway? It's all BS.
He said he was working with the – I mean, maybe he likes the exposure or thought there would be more exposure.
This all sounds so bad.
Of course.
I mean, first of all, it sounds bad that they would accept a website that's not very good because it's free.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is a lie.
I don't even believe it.
Just
so
fine.
That makes it worse. It was always understood the website would not be free. The fact that the money was paid toward it proves it. I'm not disgruntled. I want my money. Someone works for you, you agree to pay him, and you pay him. That's all. It's not about the amount of money. The money is a small amount. Campaign pays the outstanding balance. The site can be restored. But why would they do that when it's not very good?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not going to do it now.
They said they were. They had a new website in the works. Oh, should we see if the new website's up?
No, it's not.
It's not?
Adolph Mungo, too. I wonder if he's getting paid.
Yeah, I bet he is.
And if he stopped getting paid, how he would feel.
I don't think that would happen.
How long would he be doing?
I think he'd have a different opponent. He'd have a different politician.
What a joke!
Want to try this IT dude?
Yeah. Yeah, Ramon Burnham.
Yeah. I had to freeze the TV for about an hour to figure out if a certain number was an 8 or a 6.
Oh, we could have just called both.
True. I went online actually and just searched on it, and there it was anyway. It was just fun.
Yeah, it becomes kind of a challenge.
Hello.
Hey, is this Mr. Burnham?
Yes, it is.
Hey, it's the Drew and Mike podcast. How you doing?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
It's the Drew and Mike show calling.
How you doing?
Good. We were just doing our podcast tonight, and we saw this thing about the whole website with Coleman Young Jr., and I was reading a story, something to the effect that they were expecting a free website, and just going
it's
back and forth.
It's all lies.
It sounds like a bunch of BS. And then for them to malign the quality of the website after they used it for all this time, that sure sounds like BS to me, saying it's not very good.
It was an amazing website.
Well, you had to be really pissed about that.
I am.
Yeah.
Have they made any, now they're talking about a new website. Is that true? Or are they going to pay up? And because I want to know if this guy's running for mayor, and there's a possibility.
Well, they're gonna pay up, because I mean, if they don't pay up, they're gonna find themselves in court.
Yeah,
but they had said they were gonna get a new website, as if they weren't gonna use yours. Do you think that's true?
I hope that's true, because I don't want to deal with them again.
I don't blame you. What were they like to work with when things, you know, when you weren't having trouble with the payments, or was the payments were always a problem?
The payments were a problem from day one. Basically, what happened is I came on to help with the campaign, not in a capacity as an IT person, but just as a capacity as to volunteering for the campaign. When I got there, they spent maybe 3 days trying to put together a website themselves, which from what I understand is probably still up.
Oh.
If you go to Coleman for Detroit, F-O-R, Detroit, I believe it's still up. That's the one they tried to build.
Okay, yours is Coleman, the number 4.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the website, of course, that they built was inadequate and it was garbage. So they were scrambling, so trying to...
It's so bad it's not up anymore.
Oh, yeah, well, they were trying to get put together a website. We had the company, and I told them that I could do a website for them, but it was said immediately from day one that I couldn't do a website for them for free. Mm-hmm. Because there are monthly fees and things that are incurred with the website, and right. I wasn't going to pay a monthly bill for a website for someone.
So you still really haven't made any money. You just got paid, I said, $530 for costs, I guess, and then another couple hundred bucks. You're not making any money off this.
There was no profit made on this whatsoever. They paid us $530, but the interesting thing about that is that was after they reviewed and approved the website, and then we launched it. People have to understand how a website is put together. We built the website offline.
Right.
Then the client approves the website.
Yep.
And then we go live with the website.
Right. You didn't just throw it up there and say, is it okay?
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We got a website, so we understand that, how that works, of course.
We have messages, text messages, and emails of them not only praising us for the site. I mean, the praise was enormous. I mean, anyone who has ever attended their Monday meetings knows me. And knows that I've been a rock star in that campaign since the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a contract with them that they signed, or, you know, one
on the original invoice? Yeah. We don't have to do contracts. The way it works is on the original invoice, it's a detailed invoice of everything you're charged for. And the reoccurring charges are marked on the invoice. So like a line would read custom web hosting, monthly fee, and it would say that fee. So it's on there. So when you pay the original invoice, you enact the contract, because a contract is just a meeting of the mind. So if you pay the original invoice, that means you're accepting the terms.
Right. Now, you said you usually charge $4,000, and that is a rock star price for a website, I would say.
We don't do small sites. I can't divulge our client list because I just can't do that. We have a policy. We don't do that.
But you must have you must have some big shots if you're doing sites for $4,000.
We work with large companies mostly, not people. We did this for him. This was an attempt to help him with this campaign. I mean, we understood that they didn't have the money to pay full price, but they understood that, of course, we couldn't do it for free either.
I would think this guy would have a little money. I mean, you know, all we hear about is the name, and how much the name means. Well, I would think people would donate to that campaign. They can't afford a website? I mean, this just seems really small to me.
Well, it's small to me, too. That's kind of the other thing for us. You know, it's really a fight about principle, not about money. Mm-hmm. I've spent way more money than this in their campaign helping them. I painted the campaign offices for free out of my pocket, and not even one of his people showed up to help.
Well, you sounds like
me, my wife and my assistant painted the whole office.
Oh,
it sounds like you were a big believer in the campaign. Has that changed? I mean, would you vote for this guy?
I'm a believer in, I was a believer in his dad, and I was a supporter of him, attempting to become a believer in him. And the answer is no, I would not vote for him at this point. The reason why I'm not going to vote for him is because in this situation, after we have watched them lie, because really, to be honest with you, the way to handle this would have just been to say, hey, look, it's a personal business matter. We're trying to resolve it in the background, and I don't want to say too much about it because we're trying to fix it. And then they could have got it fixed and it wouldn't have been a problem. But instead, they lie and say, we didn't like the site, which everyone in his campaign is a liar now. Because if they're okaying that, they know that that's a lie, because I was introduced at meeting after meeting after meeting as Jesus Christ in this campaign. So
you're going for rock star and Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And I mean meeting after meeting. My stage name is Mr. Nice Guy. I'm a producer. Mm. Everyone in that campaign knows Mr. Nice Guy. You can randomly call anybody in that campaign, and they'll all tell you that rock star status is all I've had from day one.
You know what else? They claim that you didn't do social media updates, or those weren't any good either. How does that factor into this? Were you updating the Twitter and the Facebook?
We were updating that stuff constantly. They're slow to content. Here's the amazing thing, guys. We have to show up. If you look at the press conference he had, you'll see me standing right there.
Yeah.
Adolph Mungo didn't attend the press conference. I ran the press conference.
Ooh.
Not only did I run it.
Actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not only did I run it, but I shot it. I filmed it. Then I edited it. Then I put it up. I mean, all of that. These services are services that we charge hundreds of dollars for.
As much as you work, Ramon, I think I'm going to vote for you. I'm going to write you in.
Well, don't be shocked.
Yeah.
You know, we're very close to that point. But
what? You're close to running for mayor?
Well, I'm close to running for office. Not necessarily mayor.
What would you run for?
Yes.
I like voting for rock stars. What would you run for?
Jesus. State. We're considering state rep.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting because when they didn't pay it and you put up the site where it says the site has been removed for non-payment in all caps, which just looks beautiful. Did you ever think of like rerouting it to another person running for mayor?
Or to some porn?
Or to porn?
We probably were closer to rerouting it to porn.
Like ex-hamster?
We have taken the site. This is what people don't know, too. This is how you can know that they're absolute liars. We've taken the site down twice for non-payment, and they paid to have the site restored.
I just broke twice. The internet.
That's
pathetic.
Pretty damning.
That is really bad. So this guy's obviously hurting for money badly, but he can't be straight with you. If he said, listen, I can't afford to pay you right now, can you carry me for a while, would you have carried him?
They've never said it once. Every time Adolph Mungo, who is the worst liar in the history of politics in Detroit.
That's saying something.
Adolph Mungo has every time lied to me. I've met with this guy probably 20 times. If you go to he stays downtown at the DoubleTree. If you go down there.
Hey,
and
who's paying for his room at the DoubleTree? Is the campaign pay for that?
I know they don't pay for that. But
who pays?
Well, gets paid. I mean, that's pretty fancy living.
Oh, yeah. So he's down there. But if you go to the guys who do the valet there, I drive a big old white Hummer. Real hard to mistake it.
Yeah.
Okay. No, the rookie is such a bad example. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So those guys would know me very well. From meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting and lie after lie after lie after lie.
Yeah.
And now you're saying he's the biggest liar in the history of Detroit politics. Would he be a bigger liar than Kwame Kilpatrick even? Are you saying that?
Yes.
Wow, that's handsome.
Well,
holy.
He actually went to jail for his lies.
Yes. Adolph Mungo probably should have been in jail.
Well, we'll have to let somebody else decide that. But, this is really disappointing. I mean, this guy seemed like he was an up-and-coming guy. Maybe
here's the thing. I don't think Coleman, and this is something I want you guys to be clear on, too. I don't think Coleman even has a clue to any of this. his mother and Adolph Mungo are running everything.
Oh,
if you elect Coleman second to second right now, you'll be electing his mother and Ivory and Adolph Mungo.
Well, you said
that's who you'll be electing.
You said you talked to his mother, his aunt, and then you talked to Mungo, and it sounded like a big fat runaround. And I'm just surprised this guy would be so far removed from something. I mean, your website's critical. You've got to have a website. You can't be shutting it down for non-payment. That's humiliating.
It was shut down three times. It was shut down twice, and they paid to restore it. And then it was shut down this last time permanently. And I have documentation to prove all of that.
Mm. Guilty.
What's his mother? What name is she going by now? Is she going by Mrs. Coleman Young?
Or she's no, she should loving? Be going. She should be going by Black Elvira. she's horrible, dude. Wow. She is a nightmare. Well, okay.
Well, if you go back in history about all this, I mean, obviously the whole genesis of Coleman Young Jr. is rather, or Coleman Young the Second, whatever it is very strange. I mean, his name's Joel Loving, and to change
his name is Joel.
Yeah. Do you call him Joel? Do people call him Joel?
No, I call him Joel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you should do. You I should call him
Joel.
Him.
I call him Joel because I think it's an insult to the people who loved his dad. Mm. I mean, that he would allow for his stuff to be ran like this because I understand it's probably not him. I will say that. Mm. But the people you put around you to run your stuff, they're an extension of you.
Of course. Yeah, it's the first decision you make.
So if they're treating people bad and they're dogging people and not paying them, hey, that's you if you allow it to go on.
I assume that your business is going to survive this. It's not a big deal. It's just a little bit of money, but I understand the principle involved. I mean, your
man,
business...
Man, we don't give two flying farts about $200 a month. Okay, you can call Channel 7. Channel 7 came to my house, and Channel 7 to tell you $200 a month ain't buying dinner at my house in the evening.
Ooh, whoa.
Okay.
Well, we heard about the white Hummer.
I live quite a bit different than Coleman A. Young.
Whoa.
I live in a position that would allow me to pay his bills.
I see. Well, pretty impressive. Are you living in West Bloomfield, by the way?
Oh, yeah, always. I have lived here for almost my entire adult life.
Yeah, we're a little surprised. He's talked so much about hiring people from the city. We're a little surprised that his web designer would be in West Bloomfield, but this is something where
I'm a major investor in the city now. I'm a civic monster. I give to everybody, Crime Stoppers. I mean, to you name it, I'm in the city constantly pouring money into charity.
Well, it's not a knock on you. It's a knock on him.
But I'm a Detroiter, 7 mile born and raised. I want to get that twisted. Cooley High School, that's me.
Okay.
So I just was fortunate enough, and I have been fortunate enough in my entertainment career to where it allowed me to live a certain way. So
when you say entertainment career, how did you break out in terms of your entertainment career? Is there somewhere we'd know you from?
Oh, yeah. I work with groups, the old school groups such as like the Dramatics and the Temps. To new school groups like Eminem, T12, you name it, Tech N9ne. So
did they all pay their bills?
You know what? The amazing thing, guys, is we do websites for probably about 50 people, and this is the only client we have in the history of this business had trouble collecting from.
Oh, boy.
Of course, it's a politician.
Yeah, that's good.
And we've done other and I'll tell you this. I did Burt Johnson, and Burt Johnson is in trouble for money.
Wait, don't tell me Burt Johnson paid his bills.
Burt Johnson doesn't pay bills.
And Burt Johnson paid me.
Wow, really? I think his ghost employee paid you.
But I'm just saying, though. When a guy like that can pay.
It's because he has money from a ghost employee.
Yeah.
That's
pretty grim. Well, listen, I appreciate your time and being so forthright about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about time somebody told the truth. This is a terrible story, and it just made him look bad. When I saw you on Channel 7, I believed you. When they said when they made a payment, it was obvious they were planning on paying for something, and then to say it's not very good and we're going to get a new one, well, then why did you use the first website if it wasn't good enough?
They're not in trouble for the web. They paid for the website. They're in trouble because they did not pay for the usage of the website.
Right, your cost.
So they're $400 behind on what they've already used.
Yeah, they want you to incur costs, in other words.
Yeah, they didn't pay for the usage, though. So for them to say they didn't like it, they still, to this date, have not sent me an email or anything asking me to stop the website.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I...
So there's no... there's, and I've got 5,000 emails from his Godzilla mother.
Oh.
On all types of other stuff. I've got probably 20 of them praising me, but I have not even one of her asking me to stop the website.
So you're not doing anything for the campaign anymore, are you? Because you said you were a rock star in the campaign.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, no.
So you're a former rock star.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, my thing is, no, I'm not a former rock star. I'm a former rock star for him. No, just because you leave Arista Records doesn't mean you're not going to MCA, buddy. So,
are you still working for?
No.
Do you still work with Eminem?
I haven't worked with him in a long time. I worked with, when Proof was alive, Proof was one of my best friends. So I worked heavily with Proof, and I worked with Jay Dilla. I don't know if you're familiar with Jay Dilla.
Absolutely.
Dilla, you know, those were my brothers. I'm still very close with Dilla's mom, and Proof's mom just passed a couple of years ago. God bless her.
Mm.
But I've been in the game for a long, long time. Well, so half my time working here, half my time working in KC. But I've worked with just about everybody who's serious at least once or twice in some way.
Well, we'll have to talk about some of that stuff, which would be a lot more fun sometime.
Oh, yeah. Just let me know, man. I'd love to.
For sure. Hey, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate your honesty. It's an unfortunate story, but it's good to get to the bottom of it.
And I'm not disgruntled. We were never lovers, so I'm not disgruntled. I heard Adolf say that. I heard him say that. I'm not disgruntled. We're not lovers, so there's no disgruntledness here.
Yeah, you just like the bills to be paid. You'd like to recoup your costs is all you're asking for. That's not much at all.
Hey, pay your bills.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
If you've got a bill, just pay your damn bills. Pay your bills.
What's worse than a deadbeat? Not much.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the time.
He's 38 living with his mom, so. All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
You're a great interviewer. Bye bye. Oh, man. Am I glad we called him?
They picked the wrong guy to pay their bills to.
You're not kidding. He's. Oh, man.
That guy's funny.
I love when people tell it like it is. I mean, why bullshit about it?
Yep.
That's pathetic. And, you know.
And then throwing all the extra stuff about his mom. His mom's running his campaign.
Well, you know, when they did the story on Channel 7, they said how, you know, first the mother made an excuse, then the aunt made an excuse, and, where is he? Exactly.
Why make excuses?
And why is his mom mixed up in this? I mean, the whole thing stinks. The mother, you know, if you remember, Coleman apparently was not planning on having a child by this woman. Because he fought that thing tooth and nail. It wasn't until they got DNA that he acknowledged anything to do with Joel Loving / Coleman Young. And I think Coleman only acknowledged it because it was absolutely true. And I don't think he wanted anything to do with her, though. But apparently she thinks this is her meal. She's got her new Coleman Young meal ticket.
That's sick.
The first one ran out of steam.
Ran out of steam.
What if Junior goes on the McGonagall plan and pays up in pennies?
Oh, no. I don't think that guy's going to take pennies.
Oh, brother. It's funny. I listened back to that on Saturday. What a piece of work that guy is. Oh, my God.
Kind of exhausting.
Yeah, he is. He's wearying.
And we have really nothing to do with him, and he was kind of exhausting.
Yeah, he was. It's like you couldn't just get a brief answer out of him. Nothing was brief. Everything was complicated.
He's a man of principle.
Oh, he is that. Okay. All right. Well, let me take care of this. If you're heading home at the end of a long work day, you should feel good. But for men in a failing marriage, home can be far more stressful than work. Maybe it's time to call Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men, and get your life back. There's significant advantages to being the first to file if you're getting divorced. If divorce is in your future, get divorced on your own terms. Adam, aggressive, diligent, uncompromising representation for men facing divorce since 1988. Call Adam today, 248-356-2326, or 356-ADAM, that is, or visit adamdivorcelaw.com. David Law, financial. We hear back from all these happy customers, people so pleased with the work they do. They aren't the bank. They only do mortgages. They're experts. They don't make clients run circles. They specialize in providing more options, lower rates, more personal attention and communication. They return calls and email fast, and they'll shop for you. They'll find you the best deal they can. For eligible veterans and surviving spouses, VA loans often offer the lowest rates and 0% down. Realtor preferred, beat out competition by getting properly pre-approved. And you can get all the information from them if you go to our website, drewmikepodcast.com, click on the Hall Financial logo, and fill out the online form, or call 248-308-5000. Restrictions apply. Michigan's licensed broker, lender, NMLS number 1467435, equal housing lender. And then there was Zot Jeep. Here it is, Zot 4. No, here we go. We all know about our friends at DealsInTheD.com, our studio sponsor. And, of course, they have some of the best deals in Metro Detroit. But during their Drive and Discover event, you can lease a new Ram Crew Cab for just $159 a month. This is a loaded four-wheel drive bighorn with heated seats, backup camera, and even has a heated steering wheel. Make sure you mention your friends from the Drew and Mike podcast to take advantage of this amazing deal. They need to find homes for 80 of these trucks in June, or they may not send us a check. So check out DealsInTheD.com and find your new Ram today. So there. We were talking about, right before the show, Amanda Bynes finally resurfaced.
My girl, yeah.
And it is the weirdest and worst interview possibly ever.
And not because of Amanda Bynes.
No, she...
That's the amazing part.
She does what she's supposed to do. Who is this person interviewing? Everyone's talking about it, too. It's funny. All the comments are about the interviewer. Yeah. there's like 6,000 comments underneath that interview. And they're all about how cringy the interviewer is and how weird she looks and who is this idiot?
Diana Madison, whoever that is. I don't even know.
Never heard of her.
What this thing is, this Holly Scoop that she gave this interview to.
And this is, you know, Amanda Bynes is somebody who really we've wanted to hear from in a sort of cogent way for years. She was off the rails. I mean, when Amanda Bynes, if they said Amanda Bynes news coming up, you would not turn off your television.
No, she was
train wreck.
She says she was on drugs. But
she was a nonstop train wreck.
Yeah, her tweets were hilarious.
Oh my God, everyone's ugly.
Yeah, it was that's hilarious. Right.
Remember how she was? Everyone was ugly.
I forgot about that.
She wouldn't stop calling people ugly. It was absolutely comical. It was bizarre.
I'm reading this lady that did the interview on her website. Her description of herself is mommy, entrepreneur, talk show host, producer, fashionista, which basically is I don't have a real job. I mean, what are those? A real job? And then down below, she has Amanda Bynes speaks out for the first time in 5 years. Last week, I had a top secret interview with actress Amanda Bynes. It was an interview that I've been working on for over 3 years to get.
And this is how you do the interview?
It was awful. It's so bad, it's funny. And once again, because of this interviewer.
I couldn't believe, of all the things she asks her, it seems like the only thing that comes up of interest regarding her crazy time was that she wanted Drake to murder her vagina.
Yeah.
That was like the only thing. As far as her calling people ugly and all the None crazy incidents and her setting her parents' house on fire or something.
She should have gone through almost every single individual.
She
tweet
went
that
through
she
nothing.
Out,
no. She's talking about, well, let's just
She went through one of them. But the best part, I think, is when they brought up the video board. Did you make it that far into the interview?
I did. I don't think I did. Is that the end?
When she's asking about who's hottest or what
looks. Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Did you see the part where she put up the picture of Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato?
No, I don't think. I think I kind of dreamweaver during
that. Well, I'll just, in case we don't get to it. And then the third one was Selena Gomez. And the interviewer goes, here's three of your friends. And Amanda Bynes goes, I don't know those people. Oh, I just assumed everybody was on Nickelodeon or Disney when they were a kid knows each other. Which, why?
She was ripping people she worked with anyway. Nobody was her friend the last 5 years.
I know, but nice. If you worked 3 years to get this interview and you don't know stuff like that,
I know,
or just make that assumption.
She's interviewing her in front of this like this glass thing with a big red Diana in cursive. Apparently she signed it in paint.
Oh my God, that's stupid.
This looks so ridiculous. I don't know who is this person?
I have no idea. She doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
You got to be kidding me.
No. Okay. Or she does. She doesn't have one right now.
Well, roll this and I'll read some of the comments because they're pretty universal.
Welcome to Lowdown with Diana Madison. I'm so excited because I have the very talented and beautiful Amanda Bynes in here. So Amanda's made over 10 films, has done countless TV shows, 4 Kids' Choice Awards, SAG Award, MTV Movie Award, list goes on. She's also have a controversy under her belt. And I like to say, welcome to the show, the brand new Amanda Bynes.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Diana?
I'm so excited to see you. First of all,
so
you look
to see you.
Gorgeous.
Thank you. So do you. Absolutely
Thank you.
Stunning.
Thank you. We were talking fashion before we started doing the show.
No one cares about
You're
that
You're wearing
part.
Lace.
Skip it.
Ready for
correct. I don't want to be as well.
Of all things, talk to Amanda Bynes about.
A fashion girl. Like, I love hearing that. So I will take
Thank
that as a
you.
Compliment. Okay, yeah.
Sure.
We're just
oh, so now
department.
It's about you.
Amanda Bynes approved of it. I'm excited to have you in here. It's been a while since I saw you. Last time I saw you was we talked about this Michael Costello's event.
We've been working on this for
and
3 years.
You came to my holiday party like 2 years ago, which was fun seeing you. But the
Ditto.
Public, yeah, I remember that was so fun. But the public like hasn't
Back
really
when
seen
you were nuts.
And I think your fans want to know, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Really great.
You look beautiful.
Thank you, so do you.
I wanted to know, like, what are you up to lately? Like, how do you, like, motivate yourself on a daily basis to... You know, wake up and do good and strive to like be excellent. Tell me
what?
About that.
Okay, I've been going to school lately, fashion school, Fit'em, and I love it. I've learned how to sew. I make patterns, and I want to start
wow.
a clothing line.
Boring.
So Fit'em has been helping.
That's
me with
that's
that.
What helps get you
Other
up every
than that,
day, Amanda.
I go spinning.
What about when you took all the drugs to get you up?
And I feed the homeless.
Yeah, how'd you replace the drugs for crying out loud?
A lot of people came out in support of you. Your fans. During the hard times that you were going through.
Hard times.
You were being fucked up.
Yeah, family. Having a
I
party.
Really appreciate that.
Did you guys ever talk?
We never talked, actually. I know that he called me family, and I love that. He is definitely a family member to me, too.
Who?
Do you miss acting?
Somebody you never
I
talked to.
I do miss acting, and I actually have something surprising to tell you. I'm going to start acting again.
Yes! Yes! Oh, my God. I haven't been a fan of yours for years, so
Thank
hearing
you.
That
You're,
is so
she's
amazing.
She's the only person excited by that
so
news.
I'm so happy. I have actually goosebumps all
around.
Of
course she's going to act
like
again.
All over my body, I have goosebumps because I'm so
really?
Happy to hear that.
Thank you.
What do you think?
I don't have my goosebumps yet.
What's on your like? What's in your mind right now?
I want to do TV. Maybe a few guest spots on some shows that I'm a fan of.
What is this background music?
It's real
rules.
Star of it in the future.
Yeah. Can I give you
That's
a hug?
What I hope.
So
of
happy
course.
To hear that. That's like the best news ever. Time to sip tea with.
Oh, little edit there. Oops.
What kind of tea are you having?
I'm actually having strawberry
Who gives a shit?
From Starbucks.
Is that your favorite?
That's my favorite.
Mine is green tea matcha latte. Yeah.
No one cares.
Well, you're the interview. No one cares.
Wikipedia page.
So you ready for this?
So ready.
You ready to go there?
Yeah.
Let's go. Amanda said that. She turned into old Amanda for a second.
We should make a Wikipedia page and just put her favorite drink on there.
Murder your vagina.
I actually wasn't being insincere. I was like saying murder my vagina.
Uh-huh. You were serious.
I was serious, but I was also
on
so
it shut?
So that was my way of saying, like, let's do it,
let's
man.
Do it.
But I was, like, on drugs and trying to be hilarious.
Yeah. Can I be honest?
And you were.
He's really cute.
You were awesome.
He's hot.
He's hot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for you to see that, I mean, I can't blame you.
Thank you.
What's it like
nice to eat
your vagina burger?
I don't know.
I'm like, what does that even
mean? What does that even mean? It just means,
I think it means
like,
real hard.
Fuck me, Drake.
She can't use it anymore.
I think she said, fuck me, Drake.
Okay, did Black
China... kind of hot.
Really steal your look.
I stole her look.
You stole her look. So you're saying it out there. You stole her
oh,
look.
Oh, yeah. I was getting the microdermals in my cheeks uh-huh. because she had them. Because
of Black China?
I thought they looked super hot on her.
Yeah.
I never said that she stole my look.
Okay. So no, I was asking if she stole your
oh,
look.
Oh, no.
Okay. So I'm good friends with Black China. I'm going to make sure she, like...
He's aware
her.
Of
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of hers.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, she's really
a
cute.
A fan of Black
yes.
China? For
she's
what?
She's a cutie pie.
Apparently her cheeks.
That right
Me
now.
Too.
So I want to talk to you about like some of your old co-stars. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Like, okay. Hot to not. How would you rate them? So Channing Tatum.
Hot.
How would you rate Zac Efron?
Hot.
Because you guys were in Hairspray together.
Correct.
Seth MacFarlane. You guys worked
hot.
Together. Hot.
They're all hot.
Okay, so there he goes.
Great.
Sorry, guys.
Great interview segment.
That was productive.
No knots. So you're, I'm going to make it more challenging for you.
Okay, great.
So you said they're all hot, but let's rank them.
Okay.
Who is the hottest?
Zach.
Yeah, his abs.
Total.
Abs of steel.
Oh, my God. How is this a
high-fived?
Channing.
Have you seen Channing recently?
It's really fair.
No,
isn't Seth like 50 years old?
He's like, he has kids now.
I know.
He's like a family guy.
Super successful in every movie.
Does Seth MacFarlane belong in a hot or not contest with Zac Efron and Channing Tatum?
No.
Sorry, Seth.
Yeah.
You're third.
No offense.
Sorry, but you're third. I thought it'd also be fun to actually look into your red carpet moments.
Okay.
And rate them hot to not.
Okay.
But
wow. She did.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
I tell you, she did a lot of prep for this interview.
So, SAG Awards.
Hot.
Hot.
Number one.
Second, remember that dress, by the way?
I do. It's Marquesa. Yeah. Second,
this is such a blown opportunity, though.
Yes. And then that one, my third favorite.
Third favorite.
That
one
is why are you asking about when she was wacko?
Because
what, she was nuts for 5 years. This is the first time she's surfaced. How can you be talking about this trivial crap?
It's interesting because I feel like when I look at this photo,
and Bynes is acting like this is the interview she expected.
Well, that's probably why she agreed to it.
Oh,
she must know this chick.
Yes.
Somehow.
Marquesa is my number one favorite.
Yeah, it must be.
Is that one of your favorite?
Maybe we pretend everything's okay. People will forget the last 5 years.
Your hair and makeup looks flawless.
Thank you. I went for a Sienna Miller look.
Yeah, because she's like boho chic.
No, you'll never look like Sienna Miller.
See that.
Sorry.
Bynes has packed on some boom.
Okay, next, we have some.
Definitely replaced the drugs with some food.
Demi Lovato, Selena Gomez, and Miley Cyrus.
I've actually never met any of them.
You don't know any of them? That's so crazy. You know, for some reason, I feel like if you're on Nickelodeon or Disney Channel, like, you know each other.
Yeah, no, I don't know any of them.
So that's a big misconception for anybody out there who's in my, like, same position in my head. That's not how Hollywood works.
What?
So you never met them. What
are you talking about?
How would you rate them?
Selena Gomez, hottest.
And she's been through a lot. She's overcome everything.
Exactly. I love her music. I love everything about her. Second hottest would be Miley.
Miley.
She's so much more fun
like
on drugs.
Like,
isn't she?
She's a blast.
Yes, I love the new Miley. And third hottest, I'm so sorry.
I'm not trying to encourage anybody to take drugs. Just saying, she's really a dreadfully boring interview. Comparatively.
Well, you gotta remember who's interviewing her here.
Tonight. Yay!
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's it. Amanda,
thank
you for coming in. I know you don't speak to a lot of people. You haven't really talked to anybody or had a sit-down interview, and it's been a while.
And you wasted your time with this fool.
I'm happy to see that you're doing amazing.
Thank you, gorgeous.
And I know your fans are happy to see that you're doing amazing. And I can't wait to see what's ahead for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh,
love
you. Hugging.
Thank you. Love you, too. We'll see you guys next time. Bye, everybody. Bye, guys.
Bye.
The interview, the comments underneath this thing. This interviewer should be ashamed of herself.
She should.
The next one is, I'm good friends with Black China. Sure you are, LOL.
Who cares anyway?
That girl is cringy. Amanda's so calm and professional, she's acting like a fake little kid.
It's actually kind of genius on Amanda Bynes' part by picking the worst interviewer ever. Makes her look normal.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody's talking about Amanda Bynes. Fire the host. Worst host ever. Jesus. The left chick's outfit looks like those... Looked like those cone dogs. Looks like what those cones dogs have to wear. What?
Oh, like a dog. Like a
cones dogs have to wear.
Yeah.
Let's see.
This lady responded on Twitter too because she knows she's been getting hammered.
Oh, she responded.
Well, she's put up things lately. Like sometimes being human and having compassion for those you interview means more than just trying to make headlines. Hashtag Amanda Bynes. How many comments, retweets, and likes? Any guess? That was posted 7 hours ago. 7 hours, a long time in the world.
I have no idea, because I don't think anyone knows this chick, so I have no idea.
Five likes, one retweet.
One retweet? Yeah. I get more than that.
I have no doubt Amanda Bynes will address some of her past experiences when she is ready to. I will support her in however long that may be. That's her decision. You got to ask the questions, though.
Okay, well, someone who uses the identifier Amelia Everything Baby Names is making more sense than she is. She says, this interview had a chance to talk about some real issues. Amanda openly said, I was on drugs. Why not follow up with a question like, so you were going through a tough time then with drugs, but you obviously were going through a tough time in the public eye. What did you learn from your time in from that time in your life? Like, come on, how hard a task is that to ask questions?
Yeah. Amanda wanted to hold all serious questions for a longer sit-down interview that we will be doing for a major network.
Oh,
Stay tuned. I can't imagine any major network seeing that piece of shit and going, we need a longer half-hour interview with this
chick. So what I saw on the Today Show was a piece of that piece of shit, right?
Yeah, I believe so, on one of the morning shows, yeah.
I'm amazed anybody picked it up, but I guess
well, nobody's heard from her in 5 years and she had a meltdown.
But she said nothing. Did they just used the part, though, I was on drugs. I specifically remember hearing that.
Yeah.
So they probably didn't. They played maybe a minute of it.
The first comment when she posted the video, this lady, the first comment is, better questions could have been asked. Shaking my head. And she replied to it.
She replied?
Yeah, stay tuned. We have a serious sit-down interview coming very soon. Well, what was that then?
What was the point of that? I mean, why'd you waste our time with that crap?
The next comment. Failed, missed opportunity. Interviewing the amazing Amanda Bynes. So many other important questions could have been asked. Hot to not? Really? To which she replied, "Stay tuned. We have a serious sit-down interview coming very, very soon." You are so fake and awkward. Please don't ever interview someone again.
Did you respond to that?
Yep. "We'll never stop, but thanks for watching. We have a longer in-depth interview to a major network coming soon."
Ooh.
Next one. "Don't though this that lady replied to that reply. Don't flatter yourself. No one appreciated you." This is from a girl. "They watched it for Amanda. You ruined your career," in quotes, with that. "Good luck, though."
Good luck, though. Hey, Jay, do we have a charger down here?
Yeah, here you can use this one.
Oh, thank you.
That's good. By the way, that's not the worst interview ever. This is still my favorite interview of all time. You ready, Jay?
Oh, wait.
You'll know it as soon as you hear it.
Can't wait.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter and her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
All right, Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, we love the show. So tell us, what drew you to this character that you play, Grace?
I'm sorry?
What drew you to this character, Grace?
Well, you know, I read the script. It came to me a few months ago with an offer, and I got about to page six, and I called my agent and said, "Look, if this keeps up, I can't say no to this woman. I can't have anybody else do it."
Why does she talk like that?
And when I got to the end, I called back and said, "Yes, this is yes. I gotta go."
Well, we just love this show.
Oh, so, great.
You're welcome. So what drew you from the big screen to TV? Because we hear that you don't watch TV.
I think that this is a really original woman, you know, and
I love how she goes into phone-it-in mode.
I've played some really
every question
amazing
about
characters
the show
in my life, but it's still a rarity to come upon somebody who I feel is original. And she's such a character filled with opposites, and you rarely see that. Generally, somebody is almost a two-dimensional character, and here you have a woman who is.
Why do you talk that way?
She's opposites, you know. She's,
opposites.
She's good and bad. She's a goddess. She's a madwoman. She's a beggar. She's a drunk. She's an incredibly generous aunt. She's
wrap it up with
a good
your
time
answer.
Girl. She's a wild child.
Blah,
yeah,
blah,
she's
blah,
a
blah.
Great, intelligent.
Let's get back to the interview
top.
Was bad.
So
yeah, please.
I couldn't say no.
Well, I love this character. So are you nervous at all tackling something so controversial?
No. You know, I leave that to
are
other
these
people.
The questions that were just fed to this chick?
I know.
True.
It sounds like she's got
all right,
piece.
Anything else you want to tell us about Grace?
You know, we premiere Monday night, July 23rd, at 10 p.m. right after the closer on TNT. So, you know, I think the show is really thrilling. It's a great ride.
I think it's a great ride. What's the best part about shooting?
Well, you know, it's so funny. I think that the sense
also
of humor
fake.
In the show is absolutely. I mean, it's sophisticated, but it's also kind of Three Stooges. I mean, it's silly as hell, and
he's with her,
and unbelievably smart.
Well, I think it's fantastic. All right, so now that you've wrapped up shooting, what are the rest of the summer plans?
Well, actually, I haven't wrapped up. We're in our 10th hour, which is pretty exciting. We've got, you know, 3 more hours to go, 3 more episodes to shoot. So it's going to be sad to say bye to it.
It's going to be shadow, right?
We'll finish up at the beginning of August. And then I'll go back to New York.
Yeah, well, we want you back in New York. We are so excited about this show. It's so good to have you back. We are all thrilled to watch it.
Oh, great. Thank
all
you.
All right, and you do a great job. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my God. Where did that disaster come from?
And you can catch more Holly.
Sorry,
all right, and you do
you
a great
the awkward
job.
Wrap
so
up.
Thank you so much for joining us.
She's just staring at the camera.
You can catch... And you can catch more Holly on Saving Grace, which is going to premiere Monday, June 23rd at 10 p.m. Eastern on TNT. All right, folks, that's all the best we have for you today. Make sure to check us out on demand at the Arts and Entertainment section of NBCNews.com. I'm Mary Miller in New York. Thanks for watching this edition of What's the Buzz.
That's from NBC.com?
No, it's not. And that's why you hear that lady in the background go, no! Did you hear it? Did
yeah,
you catch that?
Yeah.
It's from ABC World News Now, which was the overnight one.
Oh!
Listen to it again.
Oh!
At the arts and entertainment section of NBCNews.com. I'm Mary Miller in New York. Thanks for watching this edition of What's the Best.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that just awful?
That's on a network.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Overnight.
Well, I mean, it's a Holly Hunter interview.
I know.
That's
I know.
A phone-in interview.
It's funny. When you first listen to it, it's like, oh, Holly Hunter's doing an interview with some college TV station.
Yep. Yep.
I Holy
think the way the story went is that that chick was a producer, and they kind of threw her on there. Now she just plays.
Yeah, producer's like, I can do this. I've been watching these guys do it for years. It looks easy to me.
Yep. And so now she just plays the harp.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
that
pretty,
was brutal.
Hilarious.
Adam West.
Wow, yeah.
No more Adam West. Wow. By the way, there's a great documentary of Adam West that is airing on one of the movie channels, and they aired it this morning, I assume, because he died yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
No.
It's about him getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's sort of the
Which
theme
took forever,
of it.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It took forever. And the guy that wanted to get it done was an entertainment reporter in Los Angeles. I think he worked for KROQ, among other things. Maybe he just worked for KROQ, I don't know. He and Adam West's daughter sort of worked together, but somebody started rolling a camera on these efforts, and they sort of cover his entire career throughout the thing. It's pretty good. I think it's just called Starring Adam West.
Yeah.
And I think they're airing it again.
Should we call Burt Ward, have him eulogize him?
That's a funny idea. We do have Burt Ward's number, don't we?
I'm sure everybody's called Burt Ward to have him eulogize him.
Yeah, why not?
They're just going to get in line.
Yeah, I'd love to call Burt Ward.
Let me know if you can't find it over there, Jay. Okay.
Burt is really loud. I predict he'll be happy to take the call.
I think I have a number
for called him for Maz on his birthday. Remember?
Is Julie Newmar still alive?
Yeah.
I might have a number for her. I think I saw it the other day.
You can ask her about her fight with Jim Belushi.
Over the house?
Mm-hmm.
I came across some old files on my computer yesterday that had numbers on them. And I swear I saw her.
She was the Catwoman.
Yeah. I'll look for it. And what was the story about Burt Ward and Adam West and that had the falling out between them?
Burt claimed they nailed hundreds of chicks at these signings and stuff.
Is that not true?
Well, Adam wasn't happy about it. It was on A Current Affair. They ran the story for like 3 straight days. You know, they took one interview and chopped it up and just promoed the shit out of it.
Oh, yeah. It's Batman.
And so, yeah, Adam was bummed. And I think the reason he was bummed is I think he might have been married to the woman that he was married to at that time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it was a big drag.
Wait, is Yvonne Craig still alive?
Good question. She might be.
I have a number for her.
Don't know. Why do you have Yvonne Craig's number?
I told you, I found this old list of numbers from 10 years ago. No, she died 2 years ago. Should
okay.
we call her number and see if the person that answers wants to
do a voicemail check.
Okay. We could do that with Adam West, but that seems too soon.
Oh.
What's that? You found Bert?
Yeah, but the number's no good anymore.
It's not?
It's not.
Ward changed his number?
Are you serious? No, I believe you. I just
no longer in service.
I don't know why I asked if you're serious. If I believe you. All right, here's
a bummer.
The former Yvonne Craig phone number.
Adam came in right after that thing happened. He was doing the Viper game. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was probably a week after that thing came out, and it was like, well, I guess we have to ask him about this. And he was pretty cool about it. He just wanted, you know, we just do it and get it done with, you know, get it over with. Do we have to spend an hour on it? And it's like, no. Because we all like Batman. We all like the TV show.
What? Well, this sucks.
We have Eartha Kitt's number?
Oh, look. Let's see who has it now.
Vincent Price is dead.
This is Ken Aldridge. Please leave your name and your number, and I'll return your call as soon as possible. Thank you.
I gotta
get pipes. I have Jim Belushi's number. He's on here.
Bye-bye.
Call him to comment on Batman? Probably like Batman.
If
about
it's
the right
still
age.
His number, I told you these are all really old. We just need to call a bunch of these someday to see what still works.
Yeah, we're updating our Rolodex.
Wow, some of these are pretty funny, including Rudy Bosch.
Rudy Bosch?
From Survivor? Shows you how old all these are.
I bet you his number. I swear to God, I can just hear him picking up. Oh, wait, did he die?
What?
Is Rudy alive?
I don't know. Maybe.
Hang on. Let me check. Fruity Bosch.
Dick Assman is in here.
Dick Assman. He was exciting for about 5 minutes.
Marv Albert. Yes.
Rudy Bosch, Survivor. Well, net worth. Why would I want his net worth? He's got a Wikipedia page.
And then, there he is. That chick doesn't.
He's a retired U.S. Navy SEAL, two-time competitor on the reality show Survivor. He's alive, I guess.
Hey, there's a number on here for Tiger Woods, who we got one time.
Yeah, for about 10 seconds.
I have a feeling that's not active anymore. I can't believe Burt Ward's not active.
I know. I'm really bummed. Dick. I'm surprised. You know, Adam was really nice. We called him out of the blue a bunch of times, and he answered the phone and talked to us.
Yeah, he was great.
We last woke time, him up, too.
Last time we interrupted dinner.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy. He really was a good guy. You can tell in this documentary that his kids
everybody
are crazy about
him.
Everybody liked him. And, you know, for him to sort of rally his career on Family Guy, he was so happy about that.
It's amazing how big that show was, considering they only had 2 seasons.
Is that all?
That's what they said. That's what they keep saying in the obit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Batman?
Yeah.
I thought you were saying Family Guy. I'm like,
oh,
what?
Oh, God, no. Sorry.
I'm looking up. I just bumped into, I pulled out this thing to remind myself.
This is funny. Burt Ward's, you know, he does the dog food thing now.
Yeah.
The website is, like, not responding. I wonder if people are just going to his website.
Maybe didn't pay, he didn't pay the webmaster, what's-his-face.
I thought it was just because Adam West died. People are going to Burt Ward's dog food site.
I'm trying to find this. This girl, oh, here it is. We have a podcast listener who has a case using Mike Morse as her attorney. It's a personal injury case.
Oh, I think I might know this one, but yeah.
And so she sent me a note a couple weeks ago to say that, boy, ever since this thing with Figer started, we just don't even hear from anybody from the office anymore.
Oh, man.
Like they were kind of dropping the ball. And she said they used to talk to him virtually every other day. The case was, you know, it was kind of a hot case, and it had gotten down to crunch time, and all of a sudden it's just all delayed. And she was kind of pissed, but she said, you know, we can wait a little bit. Anyway, she sent me an email to say that she got a letter, and she sent me a copy of the letter.
Oh, interesting.
It's allegedly from Mike Morse Law Firm, 855 Mike Wins. Dear friend, thank you very much for allowing my firm to represent you in your matter. It's a privilege and honor to handle your case. It's always been my commitment to ensure that you receive great representation and ends up with excellent results. Recently, I've come under attack. You may have heard through the media.
Because of things I've done.
No, that's not what he says.
That's interesting.
Recently, I've come under attack. You may have heard through the media about the smear campaign being executed against me by Jeffrey Figer. The unfortunate truth of today's world is that my firm's success has also made us a target for opportunists, and I refuse to engage or respond to these tactics. I think those of you who know me understand these claims against me are not only questionable, but irresponsible and false. I assure you that these allegations are bogus, and we will continue to fight until this matter is resolved. We've already filed motions to have two of these cases dismissed. In the meantime, I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of you and your family's lives as we diligently work on your case, which apparently is not happening, or she feels is not happening. I promise that my firm remains committed to you and your family, and that these baseless attacks will not deter my law firm from giving you our utmost attention. This is the most offensive letter.
Yeah.
It puts words in the mouth of the person receiving it, which are absolutely ridiculous. This person getting this letter has no idea if these women were sexually assaulted or not. And to say that, suggest that those of you who know me, she doesn't know him. They know him from a case they have. I don't even know if they know him. I'm not even sure he's dealing with the case. I don't know who's dealing with it. You'd think if it was somebody else that they'd be all over it, but she's kind of implying that she's a little disappointed in the way things have been going lately. But, I'm really curious to see how this thing pans out. If this turns out to be a big nothing, I'm going to be very disillusioned, I got to tell you, because I would be shocked to think any attorney would bring 5 cases against one person, and that 5 women are available to just make up stories.
Yeah. from
I don't believe that
from different places too. Some that worked for him, some that worked one of his events, another one that just saw him at a restaurant.
Well, and they allege to have evidence too. You know, Facebook text messages, Instagram, Facebook. One might even have a recording. But this is just. I don't know. Amazing. Sometimes I just can't stand the whole world of politics, and half the time,
and lawyering,
turns into politics. It is politics, basically. Yeah. And this, I would be so offended if I received this letter. If I had a case with them, I think I'd. Well, I don't know what I'd do. If Mike indeed wins, which it seems that he does, you can't really argue with his success as an attorney.
Well, that, why? Because he says so.
Well, he's got 145 employees. They're doing something right over there.
Well, but remember what we learned from that big expose by the Free Press and the no-fault insurance. A lot of it's made by settling with insurers.
Yeah, I know. A lot of it's very borderline in terms of who it's really helping. Is it really doing the greater good? Many believe not, but certainly operating within the law.
But if this is the case, I think it is. I mean, this is a real... pretty messed up case, the one that the listener has.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And to think that...
And so the insurance cases and these one cases against him makes people think that he's kind of a hack.
Well, there was a pretty major conversation in the media about ambulance chasing and taking a share of home rehab money. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all been settled, but it was extremely I found it very disturbing myself, just from what I read. And the whole ambulance chasing thing is just disgusting. I'm sure it goes on to this day. I don't know who's doing it or who isn't doing it, but it's just repulsive.
It's, allegedly Carl Collins.
Carl Collins?
Yeah, you ever see his ads later?
Oh, yeah.
There's Billboard. I think we have another number for Burt Ward, a more recent one.
Sweet.
There's a story someone sent to us, too, about Burt Ward, or about Adam West and Frank Gorshin.
Oh, really? Frank Gorshin the Riddler, of course.
Yeah. Adam was once asked his favorite memory of Frank Gorshin.
Uh-huh.
He said, one of my favorite memories is that Frank and I were invited to a party one night. We decided to go, a Hollywood party we didn't know anything about. We were kind of laughing and having a few beers and said, let's go over there. We walked in, and it was an orgy. So I immediately went into the Batman character and Frank went into the Riddler character because we were getting the big giggles. It was so funny to us what we walked into. And then we were kicked out. We were kicked out from an orgy.
Sweet.
It's hard not to like him.
Here we go. One of the coolest theme songs ever. Bam! Pow! Whap! Come on, Bert.
Gorge, howdy. This is your old pal, Goofy. And I'm answering the phone here. I'm having a plate of that great dog food. Well, I suppose you want to talk to
that's
Bert,
don't you?
Well, I'll get him and see if he's available. And if not, leave your name, number, and a short message, and we'll call you back. Boy.
Hey, Bert. It's the Drew and Mike Show calling from Detroit. We had Adam on our show many times. We've had you on the show, too, which you may or may not remember. Anyway, we just wanted to call and see if you had a minute to talk about Adam West, the great Adam West. Thank you very much, and hopefully we'll talk to you a little later.
We leave the number, Jay?
Yeah. You want to leave it, Jay?
How did he get Goofy to record that message for him? That's pretty
impressive. It's pretty wacky. Oh, boy.
It kind of takes the air out of it when you're calling about death.
I know.
And Goofy's on there. Oh, yikes.
Today in rock.
All right.
Here we go.
What's the date?
The date is June the 12th. And, let's start with the Supremes on this day in 1965.
Yeah.
Scored their fifth consecutive U.S. number one single. They were first American group to accomplish this feat when Back in My Arms Again went to the top of the charts. Yeah. 1970 on this day, David Bowie released The Memory of a Free Festival, which featured guitarist Mick Ronson and drummer Woody Woodmansey's studio debut with Bowie's band, bringing together the lineup that would shortly record The Man Who Sold the World, and they were basically the Spiders from Mars band. Track also featured Mark Bolan on lead guitar and backing vocals. Woody Woodmansey, by the way, he has a book out right now, and it's not bad, and he is touring with a bunch of guys who, I think there's another Spider from Mars in the band, and they are playing the Ziggy Stardust and Spider from Mars material. A couple different guys, and they actually are not bad. There's a couple YouTube.
Anybody we know?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I do know this guy. I just can't think of what band he was in. He wasn't bad, though.
Huh.
And it's getting really good reviews. In fact, they were touring when Bowie died. They were doing this. This band had been put together. And sort of like the Prince, you know, Wendy and Lisa put the Revolution back together. Similar to that. And people were digging it. You know, they're playing like three.
That's hard to do without him, though.
Oh, definitely. But it wasn't bad. I was kind of impressed. Because I was totally skeptical. I was like, oh, what are these losers doing out there trying to cash in on Bowie? And then I saw they're selling out, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 seaters, and people are really digging the shows. 1972 on this day, with the help of her mother, a barefooted Ronnie Spector.
Oh, yeah.
Left her husband Phil's Beverly Hills mansion for the last time, leaving behind her adopted sons, 3-year-old Dante and 6-year-old twins Louis and Gary. Within days, she filed for a divorce that would be granted in 1974. She always said she was a prisoner. She was not allowed to leave his house.
Oh, Bert. Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, boy. It's funny. Jay always just bolts with the phone. It's like, what's going on?
Bert's in a huge hurry to get back to anybody who wants to talk to him.
Yeah, of course. Come on, man. It's his time to shine.
Sure. Why not?
I don't like that he left, though. I can't tell what's going on.
I know. I would have thought that Bert would have a lot of TV cameras at his place right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's definitely sitting by the phone.
Yeah. Well, you think he'd be answering it? So that ridiculous message?
Or just he should just make an outgoing message with his eulogy of Adam West.
He could do that. If he didn't want the attention, he could do that.
Just how sad I am. This is my favorite story involving him.
He may get kind of screwed on this because it happened on Saturday. So the news cycle sort of passes by Monday.
Well, it helps us, though, because maybe people don't wait till Monday. Although a lot of people have already, I mean, anywhere you look, he's already given his comments.
Who's he talked to? Do you know? Does it say?
Oh, like Variety and Rolling Stone had some comments from him.
Okay.
All the entertainment people. I'm sure the NBC, ABC, CBS probably reached out.
1982 on this day, Bruce Springsteen, James Taylor, Jackson Brown, Linda Ronstadt, and Gary U.S. Bonds.
Ugh. What?
All appeared at a rally for nuclear disarmament.
Okay.
That's like a loser. I threw it in there as a loser. Was that Bert?
Bert!
What's up with Bert?
Hey, Bert. It was Bert, and he politely said, could we talk during the week because it's Sunday and he's with his family, so...
But he called right back. I'm blown away that he called back.
He's not with his family during the week.
Does that mean we should call him back tomorrow? That's during the week.
Absolutely.
And he gave me his agent's number to get hold of, too. So.
Oh, that's a blow-off.
Set it up.
That's a blow-off.
What?
We are not setting it up.
Get out of here, Ward.
If that's the case, I don't want to talk to him.
Yeah, just forget it. Call him back and tell him to forget it.
Yeah.
Either we do it directly or forget it.
Jay, did you at least say, well, we're actually recording for the week. Like, this runs tomorrow, so just totally confuse him.
Yeah.
Did you really say that?
I was doing all kinds of stuff. So.
Did that mean him bite on that ridiculous piece of logic? Bert, oh, man. He knows he's in demand, so now he can push out. He can push people away. Those people want him. He can make crazy demands.
1989.
This dog food's going to go up about 20% in price next week.
The Elvis Presley Autoland Museum.
Yeah. What is that?
Opened at Graceland. The museum contained over 30 cars which were owned by Elvis, including his famous pink Cadillac, Harvey Davidson motorcycle, Stutz Blackhawks, a 75 Dino Ferrari, a 56 Cadillac Eldorado convertible, and a red MG Elvis drove in the film Blue Hawaii. Whatever. 1999 on this day.
99 on this day?
Yes.
No hint?
It was reported that Oasis had paid Gary Glitter $200,000 as an out-of-court settlement after being accused of using the Glitter lyric, "Hello, hello, it's good to be back," in the song Hello.
Damn it.
That's kind of interesting.
No, I know, but
Glitter survives on that stupid song. It still gets played. He still gets royalties, or he did for a long time. He's a total pedophile.
2000, Sinead O'Connor announced.
But no, it's got to be good. Yeah.
That she was a lesbian.
What?
The mother of two. I didn't even know this. Do you? I missed this completely. I thought she was with a dude.
Sinead O'Connor, Bob, was a lesbian.
The mother of two told the American magazine Curve that she'd been in the closet for years saying, I'm a lesbian. I haven't been very open about that. I've gone out with blokes because I haven't necessarily been terribly comfortable about being a lesbian.
Nothing would appall me more than if you're a lesbian.
And did anybody say, who are you again? Since 2012?
Possibly.
A lesbian?
Bob.
2002, Clive Calder, the man who is credited with discovering Britney Spears, sold his record company Zomba to BMG Music for $2 billion. Calder started Zomba in 1975 and hits with Billy Ocean, Sam Fox, Tight Fit, and Britney Spears.
Wow.
Tight Fit? Who's Tight Fit?
Hot. Gross name.
I know. Moving along. Let's see. Got a couple more, maybe. 2005, on this day, Pink Floyd announced they would reunite with former bassist Roger Waters, who left the band in 1985, on July 2 for the Live 8 London concert. That was pretty cool. And 2008, Amy Winehouse performed an exclusive gig at a Moscow art gallery for Chelsea FC owner Roman Abramovich and his girlfriend Dasha something. It was reported the singer was paid $1 million for the gig at the launch of the Garage Gallery, which had been set up by Ms. Zubila.
Cool. And he likes to spend money, so I like him.
2013, Mumford & Sons bassist.
No. Oh, although it's about the bassist. It's not about the lead guy.
No.
Well, then I want to hear because it's probably wild.
Ted Duane was rushed into a hospital to have an operation to remove a blood clot on his brain. Scans reveal a blood clot on the surface of his brain that required an operation. Yeah, if there's a bassist.
Wait, is he okay?
They don't say.
Oh, stupid. Well, that's just shows consequential. you know what's coming up this week, though, is the anniversary of the Monterey Pop Festival.
Oh.
June 16th.
Yeah, that's right.
1967.
Yeah, both the summertime Woodstock and Monterey Pop. 50-year anniversary,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, it's a big one.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was when The Who, apparently, that was their big moment in America, kind of got them on the American map. Mm-hmm. And Otis Redding also was huge there. Janis Joplin.
Hendrix lit his guitar on fire.
Hendrix, yeah, the Hendrix more than anything. Probably gets credited the most. Did you see Marr on Friday night, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was
taking a pounding.
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody told me they took a pounding, and I watched it. I thought it was pretty. I mean, there was a lot of chuckling and cheering and, you know, I don't know.
Well, I thought the interview he did with...
Considering a lot of people would have just lost their jobs over it, didn't seem that bad.
Yeah, but the first part where he has a sit-down interview, is that Michael Eric Dyson?
Yeah.
That part was interesting. That was a fair given exchange. When Ice Cube came out, though, then it was like beating a dead horse, and I thought the look in Mars' face was like, okay, I'm beating a dead horse.
Well, he invited him.
No, so. I know. But he apologized. A lot of people that use that word don't apologize, and that was the point.
Well, he had to apologize. I mean, what was he going to do?
Of course. But I don't know. It seemed to be the sole focus of the show.
Yeah, I would not have found it the most entertaining show to watch. I mean, that sounds really dismissive of it, but
I guess he handled it well, and he took his pounding, and now everybody's going to forget. He had a good joke about Kathy Griffin, though.
What was the Kathy Griffin joke?
How she owes him a gift basket.
Oh, yeah, for
doing that, getting her off the news. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. The whole thing was interesting in a way because, you know, when it first happened, I totally admit, the only thing I heard was the N-word. It's like, oh, my God, he just used the N-word in a joke. And it's like, is that worth it? And I thought, well, it's Bill Maher, maybe because he's so liked, you know, by blacks or by the left, that'll just go bye-bye. But I didn't think so. And then I thought, well, maybe I'm overreacting. And then, boom, it's all over online. And
well,
then,
it's interesting, some of the response. And I think the lady on his panel, I can't remember her name.
Oh, she just would not let. It's like, oh, God, well, please.
Her point was that, you know, it implied that the ones that worked in the house weren't slaves.
Well, that was really offensive about the joke.
But that's what makes the joke, in a way, is that they had a better position, quote unquote, because they were in the house. That's why.
Yeah, but to say
that's what's ridiculous about
it. To say I don't work in the fields because I'm a house.
Yeah, no, I know.
That does suggest that, you know, that
it's
being
better
in the house was great or something. And
that's why it's a joke, right?
Yeah, but I don't think it's funny. Okay. I'm not sure it's funny. To her, it definitely
wasn't
funny.
Or not, no.
If you were in the house, you were likely to get raped or whatever.
Of course.
So, I mean, is that, I don't know. It just seemed like it's such rotten territory to enter into. I'm sure he'll never bother with it again because it can't be worth it. There's no way the punchline is worth the harassment.
Would the uproar be as bad as if he said Negro?
House Negro? I don't know, that sounds weird. I don't know. I honestly.
Well,
it's just that you can't win with that word. How can you win? Nobody's going to go, oh, my God, he gave the greatest punchline and threw the N-word in, too. It was awesome.
Yeah. But other white comics, if you remember, Louis C.K. has the whole thing about saying the actual N-word.
Yeah, but does he ever say?
No.
No, he doesn't say it.
Did you read Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's response in time?
No.
I thought it was really good.
What did he say?
Just that intent matters. And should he have used it? No. Was it bad? Yeah, but intent does matter and what you say behind words. I don't know. As I get older, I like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. Ever since I saw him with Louis Anderson, ever since those guys became friends, I was like, he's got to be cool if he and Louis Anderson are friends. Well, that is just, those guys were not meant to know each other.
The HBO documentary on him is so good, too.
I found the whole reading about him, I was fascinated. The whole UCLA stuff, which I really didn't know much about, and the fact that John Wooden did not recruit him at all.
Which is why he
unrecruited him, and he ends up going there because they didn't try to recruit me like everybody else. They didn't kiss my ass.
But he also admitted it was across the country, and he liked that, and there were lots of attractive ladies there, so that didn't hurt.
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of reasons.
I just find him to be pretty honest and thoughtful.
But The thing about Marr that was so weird was when it first happened, and I'm reading about it, and his fans love him to death, and it's like there's just this flurry of white people trying to say it's okay, which there's no way white people are going to get him out of that. It's got to be
no.
It had to be black people, and they didn't really give him the pass I think he was expecting.
And it's not okay. Why are they?
No, it was just weird. It was like, I don't know. It just seems like when somebody. Let's just say Trump unfurls the N-word and a few Republicans start trying to say why it was okay. I mean, you're going to just laugh at him. But for some reason, everyone did that with Bill Maher. It was like all these people came out and said why it was okay. And then in the end, it wasn't okay. And I'm sure he's exhausted by it. He looked kind of exhausted,
actually. By the end of the show, he was exhausted by it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he even said a couple times, haven't we been through this or haven't we been over this?
You know, Ice Cube did make an interesting point. He goes, I watch your show, and sometimes I don't know if it's a comedy show or a political show. And Marr got really defensive. He's like, it's a comedy show. And Cube.
Well, he said it's both, didn't he?
And Cube right back said, Cube said, I think it's both. But Marr tried saying it was more comedy. I mean, that's because the lines are blurred.
I don't consider it a comedy show. I think it's
either.
A funny show.
I don't either.
I think it has some funny moments. But you know,
I always speed by the monologue because I don't find it that funny. I find it more interesting the guests he has on.
It's a real problem, though, when, to throw what happens when something like that happens, it's just inevitable. The context will completely be lost because so many people will see it that don't watch a show that know nothing about him. They'll just go, that fucker said house N-word, and they'll just be pissed, and they don't really know anything about him or anything. I mean, but that's true of anything. No matter what, if you say something that controversial, like that word, it gets thrown to the wolves, and... There's just no way you're going
to
win.
Well, maybe that's the way to win is just take your pounding and.
I wouldn't bother with it. I don't know how it could be worth it.
Of course, no, you don't say it. But if you do, like he did, I guess you just take your pounding.
I guess. I mean, I can't believe people are clamoring to say it now. I don't know why.
Why does any white person want to say it?
It's not worth it. There's no way it's worth it.
Who's the one sitting there dying like, if they can say it, we can say it? I don't get that.
Well, honestly, the whole thing that Ice Cube was talking about how, well, that's our word now. That word was used to stab me, or I felt it was like a stab. You know, now it's our word. I don't understand why it's okay, why the word is okay. Well, I don't get it. I don't think black people saying it is helping matters any.
No, but you know what's interesting about that is gay people really took back the word queer. Remember that used to be a slur?
Yeah.
And, you know, now there's no problem. A lot of them use the word queer. You know, they used it in chants. Of course, I just said it now, so am I in trouble? Am I allowed to say it as a straight person?
Well, you're quoting.
No.
I think.
I don't know. I just think it's interesting they reclaimed a word.
I didn't really know it was officially reclaimed or, you know.
Well, it's not
it's,
nearly.
It's funny how some word that you've been saying for 20 years all of a sudden is not okay to say. It's like retard yeah. became, you know, retard cannot be said. I hear people say it all, not all the time, but that reminds me of when something about Mary. I was watching that movie last night.
Yeah.
And you know when Matt Dillon is trying to hustle Cameron Diaz,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to
the greatest movie scenes and she of
goes,
all time.
She goes, "Well, yeah. What are you doing?" He goes, "I work with retards yeah. because he knows her brother's, you know,
yes.
got a problem." And
he wasn't trying to use it.
Yeah, he's trying to hit on her by saying that. And she's like,
dope.
She's like, "Isn't that word?" but he's just such a jackass. That movie is really funny. I hadn't seen that movie in a long time. I laughed my ass off.
That scene is easily the best scene where he has the coin. I like out of these damn Nepalese coins.
Oh, yeah.
Because she knew she wanted a girl from Nepal.
Yeah.
Oh, that whole scene.
Funny. Yeah, I thought he really made that movie.
With his teeth.
Yeah.
Giant top choppers.
The whole thing. It was just great. Before the show, we were talking about there really wasn't a ton of news this weekend, as I mentioned earlier, but
those goofy bastards. I forgot about that line. Jamie popped me up. I just want to play it now.
You know, something.
Sorry.
It's just a job, really. You know, something.
Oh, it won't load. The internet sucks. Remember, he called them those goofy bastards.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh,
I'm sorry.
It's just a job, really. You know, something to keep me moving. My real passion is my hobby.
Really? What's that?
I work with retards.
Isn't that a little politically incorrect?
Oh. The hell with that. No one's going to tell me who I can and can't work with, right?
No, I mean...
We got this one kid, Mongo. He's got a forehead like a drive-in movie theater, but he's a good shit, so we don't bust his chops too much. So one day, Mongo gets out of his cage.
But they keep him in a cage?
Well, it's just an enclosure.
No, but they keep him confined.
Right, yeah.
That's bullshit.
Well, that's what I said. So I went out and I got him a leash.
A leash?
Yeah, one of those ones you can hook onto the clothesline, and he can run back and forth, and there's plenty of room for him to dig and play. That kid is really, he's really blossomed, you know? Now I can take him to movies, baseball games. Fun stuff. Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Oh, yeah, it's cool for them, but for me, it's much more than that. For me, it's heaven, you know? Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
Such an asshole.
I know.
Oh, what
just a dick. Great scene. One of the last properties in the Cass Corridor was sold.
Yeah, two of them.
Two liquor stores
mm-hmm.
in the Cass Corridor owned by the CEO of Wireless Giant in Madison Heights. And, you know, it's just a liquor store, but it's really close to the arena. So this guy gets $3.2 million.
See how much he paid for it?
No, I didn't. You know, I didn't get the continuation of the story, and I meant to.
Bought it in 1999 for $200,000.
Woo! Not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yep. And they sold a second one. And so now the only property not sold are those a-holes who bought that place because they knew it was in, they just were guessing it was prime territory. They were right. And they had somebody living there for a while. And then the place caught on fire.
Mm-hmm,
so it's now a fire-damaged house. That is right smack. It sounds like it's in the middle of everything, but they demanded first. They were asking for $2.6 million, I think. Then they raised it to $5 million.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I saw the realtor on TV. Say, hey, $5 million for a restaurant or somebody in prime location? Like,
no
restaurant can pay $5 million. Do you know how long a restaurant's got to be around to make up a $5 million?
Well, not only
that, like that.
Not only that, but then they have to build the restaurant.
Exactly.
As opposed to just renting from someplace.
What are you going to sell that property is going to appreciate from $5 million, really?
No
I don't
way.
Think so.
No way.
No, the most it's ever worth is when they need it to build the arena, which they don't need anymore. So it's sitting there, sitting in the market for $5 million.
Yeah.
Good luck.
It's right on Cass.
I hope they get stuck. I just thought that was really scummy.
Well, what point do they lower it? After the arena opens? Years after the arena opens?
I don't know. I don't know what they do. Honestly, I think when they raise the price to $5 million, to me, they just turned the whole thing into a joke.
I mean, they paid nothing for it, these guys that bought it together, so...
I think it paid a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah, so why not leave it? They were offered, what, $350?
Oh, yeah, they were offered...
Years ago by the Illiches, and they said no.
Was it $350,000?
That was their original offer.
Oh, okay. Because I thought they had a better offer than that.
It lasts over $25,000, June 2002.
Oh, wow.
To six individuals.
So they could have made $325,000.
Yeah, but they could still sit on it. In other words, it's not really costing them anything until the city makes them fix it.
Yeah, they're probably not paying their property taxes either like everyone else. Yeah. But they revealed in that story that the Illiches spent $50 million to buy 56 properties. So I bet you those people are going... Yeah, did we hold out for enough, or did we get enough for this property? Somebody did pretty well. Well, we know that there were a couple properties. Well, these properties just cleaned up. I'm amazed this late
Temple
in the game.
Hotel.
Yeah, the Temple Hotel. This late in the game, I'm surprised these guys were able to haul in $3.2 million.
Yeah.
Although it sounds like they were happy to sell liquor there. They were probably doing fine.
Yeah, the one sounded like it was pretty busy.
Yeah.
I think the other one was shut down. And they're right by Harry's Bar, if anybody knows where that is, right on that corner there. So it's a kind of a busy area.
Yeah.
The house is on the north side of where, on Castle, on the north side of the whole corridor.
They would have been happy to run their liquor store, I'm sure, for a few more years.
The Temple Hotel sold back in 2013 for $3.7 million.
That's right. Great stories in the Temple Hotel.
Yes, Mickey Redman.
Exactly. 48 hours. Was I thought that was one of the best ones I've seen in a while last night.
Yeah, the first one, pretty wild.
Yeah, San Luis Capistrano out in California. This loaded couple. It was a bizarre story. The wife had seen this guy who built this microchip, invented this microchip, and apparently he had produced too many of them, and she just ended up on his doorstep asking, Can I sell your extra chips? And the guy gave them to her, or he sold them to her, or whatever, and she got loaded selling this special microchip for whatever the hell it's for. And then she became this superstar businesswoman. Next thing you know, they've accumulated $80 million or something. They live in this mansion with a swimming pool on the water in San Luis Capistrano in this, you know, outrageously expensive property. They got five kids. They had a 1.5-year-old that drowned in their pool, though, and so they had gone through some tough times, and they had divorced and gotten back together. They were living together, I guess, just to raise the kids. And then one night, somebody breaks in the house.
Yeah, that was weird, by the way. They were divorced years ago, and they're still living together.
Yeah, it was strange. I wondered about that.
They left a little bit out there.
I know. I kept wondering, what's that arrangement? Do they have action on the side?
Is it a financial arrangement?
Tell each other about, or what is it? What kind of deal is that? Or do they screw once in a while just for the hell of it? Yeah, they could have told us more about that.
I doubt it.
But anyway, they apparently sleep in the same bedroom.
Yeah.
Because they were both shot in the face and killed in an overkill, shot multiple times in the face and killed.
Which, of course, right away means somebody that knows them.
Well, more than likely, yeah, when it's an overkill like that and it's that personal that it's in the face. So the person also, though, shot at the 8-year-old and paralyzed him for life. That was the second worst thing about the story.
Yeah.
And then he also took a shot in the sister, the daughter's room, who was 17 years old, and then just took off. It was kind of weird. Like, why'd he shoot at two of the kids? Killed the parents. Seemed like he just took a wild shot at the daughter and missed, hit the lamp, I think, and gone. And so they start investigating this, and they're like, well, what kind of enemies do these people have? Do they have enemies? And they find out, oh my God, do they have enemies? They've got enemies, lists and lists of enemies, including one made by their kids. The two oldest sons lived in the state of Washington together. They were supposed to be, one was in college and one was running part of the business, I think.
Yeah, they had rental properties.
So
they spent all their time smoking pot and playing video games.
Is that both brothers or just the one?
I think just the one, but they spent way too much time talking about that.
Yeah. And what was the video game?
League of Legends.
League of Legends. That's right. Or wait, what's it called?
League of Legends.
League of Legends?
Uh-huh.
I thought it was Legion of Doom. Legion of Doom. Oh, no, that's a nickname for the... Legion of Doom is a nickname for the defensive backs for the...
L.O.B. That's the Legion of Boom.
Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
Duh. Okay. Anyway, whatever game it was, he played Seattle. played it all the time. They said he's put 1,800 hours into that game. I don't know how they came up to that. They figured out that number. But anyway, they're kind of going through all these enemies, and they're sort of at a impasse. And then they discover, through going through phone records, they discover that one of the kids in Washington has a car in storage, which seems kind of odd.
In storage at one of the mother's place. Well, they had paid to have it shipped.
Yeah, but why?
Yeah.
Seemed pretty odd. So anyway, being good police, they follow up on the, they think that's sort of weird. They follow up, they go to the storage area, and there's the car. And there in the back of the car is the gun that shot the parents.
Whoops.
And what do you know? It's the 19-year-old who is storing his car there, or this car there. No. And
I was going to say, it's a terrible plan to begin with.
Yeah.
But don't you at least ditch the murder weapon?
Hell yes. Oh, my God, yes. Except that he bought it. He just bought the gun. It's got to be registered to him, right?
Yeah, but if you have a, I mean, you still can't connect it to a crime if they don't have it.
No, you can't do logistics.
I'm trying to find excuses for him, but it's pretty stupid to begin with. But why would you, I don't know, why would he keep the gun?
Well, he obviously thought if you put it in storage, everything would be cool. If they can't see it, they can't have it. But then they go through the tapes on the day of the murder at the local airport, the John Wayne Airport. And there he is getting on a plane to go back to Washington the day his parents are murdered. Hours later.
Wonder why.
Isn't that crazy?
Did he not think there would be cameras?
I know. I just, so many questions. So, I mean, he's online days before this looking up, you know, what about the insanity defense? How does the insanity defense work? And what are the penalties for felony murder? And
when is probation?
When's probation? What's the chance of probation? And oh, my God. Are you kidding? And he went ahead with it after looking that stuff up?
Yeah. Apparently had no problem with it. So then the question was about motive and what was this guy's motive for doing it. And it seemed obvious what his motive was money.
I thought it was painfully obvious. Why would he shoot his sister and his brother? See, he told, first of all, he, at the funeral, he gives this incredible eulogy about his wonderful parents and how these two people found each other. And he was so lucky, you know, to be part of this family. And then when they bust him, which they say, you know, yeah, we just had to stop and ask you, well, gee, could you call first? You know, first is, next thing you know, they're asking him, so what do you think the penalty should be if we were to catch this guy? Oh, he should be in prison for life. So they kind of lock him in on that. And then they say, were you in John Wayne Airport on February the 9th? No.
No.
When's the last time you were in there? Oh, when I flew in for the funeral. Well, what if? What would you say if we told you we had you on videotape there February 9th? They arrest him for murder, but a few minutes later, take him in, and they give him his rights, or they read him his Miranda rights, and he just starts confessing. He was going to kill his parents and kill himself.
Fake. I don't believe he's going to kill himself.
He was not going to kill himself.
Although
it's just incredible to me how many people that murder their spouse or whatever end up saying that, I was going to kill myself, but it fell through. It's crazy.
Remember he had that daunting suicide attempt earlier, though, in his life.
Oh, yeah, he took a bunch of...
His girlfriend broke up, so he took a bunch of painkillers, and then called... Was it his aunt or his mom? Who did he call?
Called his girlfriend, I think.
Oh, he called his girlfriend.
Yeah, to ask if he'd taken enough, or how many did he have to take to kill himself. Oh, that's not a cry for help.
Yeah.
That's somebody really sincerely trying to kill themselves.
Yeah.
Because she's not going to call the cops or anything. She's not going to call it for 911.
I love that this guy represented himself in court, too.
Oh, I know.
It's always a classy move. The highlight, though, did you mention the highlight yet?
No, there were two highlights. One is that he represented himself because he pleaded guilty, which was good. But, yeah, he drove 18 hours straight after he bought the gun.
He stopped once, they said. They said he stopped once. Well, he'd have to get gas.
Oh.
I still don't know how he could drive that long.
Well, they said he didn't even stop to go to the bathroom. Then they said that he urinated on himself
on
the way there, which was nice to know.
At least get a UCD like the pros do.
Or a stadium pal.
Do what that astronaut did and wear a diaper.
He was so desperate to kill his parents, he didn't even stop to go to the bathroom. But I was, you know, I was like you. I was kind of pissed that they didn't talk about the fact that he did it for the money. It was so obvious because they were talking about motive. And he said, you know, his father hated him. Yeah. No, he didn't love him. He tried to exclude him from stuff.
Which he got that from his obsession with the Menendez case and the brothers, Eric and Lyle Menendez. Yeah. Which they played the 911 call again from that.
Oh, yeah. I love they played that. Yeah. My mom and my dad.
It's like,
I was listening for the yell in the background. They didn't play enough of it to hear that, though, unfortunately. Like, but I'm sure Jay will play it.
I felt like the producers of 48 Hours knew how kind of interesting that 911 call is. Just
definitely.
To fit in this
play
case.
My mom and my dad.
Pardon me? What? Who? Are they still there? The people? What?
No.
Were they shot?
Yes.
They were shot?
Yes.
What happened?
I have a hysterical person on.
What happened? Who is the person that was shot?
My mom and my dad.
Your mom and dad?
My mom and my dad.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay, we're on our way over there with
an
ambulance.
I think we also have audio of him playing the Leagues of Legends.
Oh, was that
fantastic?
It's funny, I didn't even remember that was the game.
Yeah, it was it. Hang on.
It's a lot better than we usually do.
All right, thumbs up.
Ready, guys?
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Oh, my God, he just ran in.
That might be him because the way he murdered these two people is similar to that.
Yeah.
At least I have chicken.
He just ran in with no plan.
Is Erin Andrews telling her story?
Yeah, to Megyn Kelly on the...
Yeah, Megyn Kelly.
New show? Is it just Megyn Kelly?
It's Megyn Kelly.
Which I haven't thought about Erin Andrews in months.
Well, she has to. She's got to bring out the big story.
I know.
Nobody's talking about it enough, so let's talk about watching the video of myself nude.
Do a lot of people care?
No, I don't care.
Erin Andrews so. Anymore?
Not really.
She hasn't talked about it much, but tonight she goes there in a way she never has before. And if
really?
You think time has eased her pain, just mention the man. Who did it?
Like I will.
She made $28 million off it at least.
David Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
She'll never.
When you hear that name, what does it bring up for you?
No, oh, it makes me want to throw up and hit him in the face. Just grab him and say, "Why would you do this to me?" He's a father too.
He said he hoped one day you could forgive him.
Yeah.
Have you?
No.
It wasn't the worst thing that happened to her
no.
career.
Why?
A long shot.
Because I have to relive it all the time. It's shaped who I am as a person. It messed with my family. It hurt my mom and dad so bad, and it still does. And you don't get any sort of pass for doing that.
Erin Andrews isn't one to give a pass easily or to ask for one. After all, she has succeeded in one of the toughest fields around, the National Football League. She's the lead NFL sideline reporter
for Fox
Sports.
That's a different story.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best.
Football's grimy, and it's sweaty.
It's awesome.
And it's violent.
It's the best.
She's loved it ever since she grew up in a tight-knit family in Florida, which included her little sister,
let's
Kendra.
Hear more about,
let's get to the tape, please.
Let's hear more about the incident.
We don't care about
beginning.
The family.
I didn't care. I was just
nope.
so excited to.
Yep. Nah. Yep. Don't care about
no, thanks.
That. Don't care about
no,
how
thanks.
He got into it. Don't care about how he climbed the ladder, which, you know, good job.
2 seconds, and I just said, I have to go. And I called my mom and dad.
What was that feeling when you first saw yourself?
Oh, I think to this day, how
she
many years later, you can still see it on my face. I was just stunned. I was in shock. I was embarrassed. I was. Freaking out
body
so much
good.
That when I called my parents, my dad thought I had been injured in a car accident because I was just screaming bloody murder on the other end.
Did you know it was you?
Yes. You know your body very quickly.
Hey, Celebrity Net Worth's only $20 million.
I mean, did,
blown
did you
eight.
Go to somebody must have secretly filmed me?
Honestly, the first thing I said was my career is over. I'm done. Nobody's ever going to take me seriously again. I've worked so hard. This is going to be over now.
The first thought wasn't someone did something
no,
to me.
It was my job.
To make matters worse, people initially accused
it's really
Erin
a weird way to think.
Herself, as a publicity stunt to further her career.
That is obviously something I still struggle with because
true.
I thought that people would think that this was a joke and I did this. To this day, I think that's still what drives me. I still
you
want to
so
show
did
people,
it.
You know, I didn't do this. I'm not the girl that you think that I
well,
am.
It's funny.
That's why she's only with 20 million. She only got 14 of the 28. The guy got 14 too.
The time.
It's a scam.
The timing didn't help her one bit. You know, she did. Didn't she do Dancing with the Stars right after it?
Yeah, but so, that, but she didn't agree to do Dancing with the Stars until after that happened.
No, she agreed to before.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that came out in the court case.
Huh.
I watched a lot of the testimony that came out in the court case before that she already had talks to do Dancing with the Stars.
But who even knew her before that?
Well, the football people did. I mean, she was doing sideline stuff. Now, the irony is, she's a good-looking woman, and that helped her climb the ladder.
Didn't hurt. I don't think it hurt her at all.
Why do you care what
I mean, it obviously affects her. She's still, I don't think she's acting. I didn't think she was acting on the stand. But
no.
Is that worth getting 55 million? Would a lot of people want to be filmed nude for
yes.
55
yes.
million?
Yeah. Yes.
And they'd still have their job. There's the okay. creepy part coming up.
Years of practice.
Yeah. Give me whatever you're drinking. I'll take it times two.
You're doing just fine. At some point, you went to meet with the FBI.
Yeah.
With your dad.
Ugh.
And they actually wanted you to watch the videotape with them.
Yes.
What was that like?
Grapes.
It was awful. I think they wanted to see what my
with
reaction
them.
Was.
They wanted to watch it with her.
I know. Creeps.
If this was real. And they also were saying, we have to figure out where you were. In
your body,
I live in
they masturbated
because I'm always on the road. So I remember they covered up my face or they covered up my body and they were like, just look at the room. And I just looked at my dad and I said, I'm going to throw up. And he said, do it. They have to see it's real. And I just puked everywhere. So then they were like, let's
really?
Do this.
Really?
And we actually found out that day we sat in the meeting room with the FBI, who I love so
nice
much, who helped
everywhere.
Me. And we figured out where I was. We found out that day.
It happened at this hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. Now they had to find out who
side
did
of her
it.
Body makes her puke?
Who stood outside her hotel room door
the blurred
and videotaped her.
She was a very healthy,
as she got
healthy opinion of her body.
One of the videos
it's pretty amazing they
watch.
Caught this guy, found out where
yeah.
he was and everything.
In it, you can also hear people behind him walking, which is also disgusting. And he's angling the, you know, turning
wait a
it
second,
every
though.
Way
if
I
if you're
turn,
walking down the hallway, would you know what that guy was
no,
doing?
No, and it's not disgusting. Stop saying people are disgusting for walking just because they're walking near your video.
Yeah, like they knew that's what was going on. They probably still to this day don't know that's what was going on or that they were even
they
there.
They might have seen it.
Got dressed.
Well, yeah, but they don't know that's when it was filmed.
No.
You can hear him breathing.
You.
It'd be rock
you
if they did
know.
You can
also hear people behind him walking, which is also disgusting. And he's angling the, you know, turning it every way I turn, but I think the breathing is the hardest part. You can just hear him breathing.
What is that like for you?
Ugh, makes me want to take about 80 showers. So gross. And then, you know, there was the next question. Was he ever going to come to my house in Atlanta where I was living? Did I know him? We were so afraid. Did I know him?
It turned out to be a stranger from Illinois who had stalked her at three different hotels.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He pleaded guilty to interstate
stalking. That's the thing people forget. He did this in a couple other hotels.
What a turd.
In Columbus, Milwaukee.
Do you feel like the courts take stalking seriously?
No.
And cyber crimes?
No.
Get 28 million.
Aaron sued her stalker and the companies that owned and managed the hotel in Nashville for not protecting her privacy. She said she wanted to hold them accountable. The case went to court last year.
There were times that I was walking into the courthouse and I was like, I'm going to pass out. There's cameras everywhere. I'm so pissed off right now that I was like, I'm going to be the Green Bay Packer offensive line right now. I'm going to walk in like I'm going to crush that D-line and I'm going to go after them.
Oh, please.
Wait, crush the D-line. Is that how an offensive lineman thinks?
No. She's not going to crush anybody.
Do you think like a linebacker that wants to crush a quarterback? Not to mess up her analogies or anything.
I don't think she's going to crush any offensive or defensive lines.
I don't know.
I don't think she thinks about crushing any defensive or offensive lines either.
I think she's doing fine.
I think that was a career move comment. Oh, boy. All right.
She's never going to get any of that money. Well, no, although half the money.
Yeah, she'll get the money from the Marriott.
Hotel, yeah.
Yeah, she'll do okay.
Well, that loser, he doesn't have any money.
Hey, that reminds me, speaking of the crime blotter, the Polanski assault victim is asking a judge to end this case, which pisses me off. First of all, it's not up to you to decide whether what he did is okay. Everybody could potentially be victimized by this guy. He left the country. He never faced trial. Why do all these people want this guy in the country so badly? We've done okay without him. We've managed since 1977 to get by without his wonderful work.
He makes great movies. Why does she, I'm surprised she is.
She's been that way for a while. She totally downplays. Oh, yeah.
Why though?
His dick felt great.
Oh.
She didn't say that, but she really does downplay it, I swear to God.
Oh, she's always been, well, not always, I don't know if always, but lately she's been talking about it a lot. That's not how it
Fuck
works,
him.
Though.
No, it's not up to her. And I don't know why she thinks he deserves a pass anyway.
She's not getting money from him, or...
Who knows? I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
You think you would want justice.
Well, yeah, and not only that, he never served anything. He did nothing for this crime. I mean, potentially he could have been in prison for years. He left the country, he's had a nice career, got his giant standing O at the Oscars a few years ago from the crowd that thinks it's so cool to leave the country after you rape somebody, a 13-year-old. I mean, that was disgusting. I mean, people were freaked out by that. How could that crowd not get how inappropriate that was? But anyway, I don't think anybody's going to cut him any slack just because this idiot wants him to give him slack. Whatever.
What was that Larry King messed up regarding Roman Polanski? Because he's involved in his case, but then the Sharon Tate murders. And didn't he have it backwards with somebody?
Yeah, he did.
He's like, what did you think when Sharon was murdered?
Oh,
I'm trying to remember exactly how.
Wait, was
it
he talking to Polanski?
He was talking to somebody, like somebody in the family. Maybe it was the victim herself. Does that sound familiar at all?
No, I remember it exactly, and it was so he really screwed up, and I can't remember exactly what. Oh boy, well somebody emailed.
See if
I know somebody remembers it.
It's 1977. You're 13 years old.
Yes.
Your mother had met Polanski socially.
Your mother.
How did you model for him, right?
Right.
Why was he looking at a model?
He wanted a young American model, a female. He had
picked on a few pounds, by the way.
Natasha Kinski. And he was looking for a different, more American as a, you know, as a contrast.
He was 44. She was 13.
For a French magazine.
He also did that, too? I mean...
Apparently.
Because he was a movie director.
Right, and I mean, he did photograph Natasha Kinski, and she was in a magazine, so...
So how did you come to get to Jack Nicholson's house?
Well, that was where the photo shoot was going to be, so...
So did your mother take you there?
No, she wanted to go along, but he said that he thought maybe she shouldn't because...
Because I'm a raper.
I feel uncomfortable or not be natural.
After giving her a Quaalude.
Was he the photographer?
Yeah.
Who was there when you got there?
I think the housekeeper, but I don't remember. I know she was there, but I don't really remember meeting her.
I, without getting too graphic, what happened?
Well, we took pictures and, you know, drank some champagne. And
you're 13, you're serving your champagne.
Lemonade pitchers.
Yes. It was 1977.
Before?
I think I might have on New Year's. So there was pictures and time passed and everything seemed fine. But then as the evening got to the very end, things suddenly took a turn in a bad direction, and I realized that, to my surprise, he seemed to be interested in, you know,
more than I thought.
So I was
Did you protest?
You know, a little.
Protest?
She was 13. She didn't have to.
I was scared. I had been drinking. I was alone. So I, you know, I didn't know how to handle it. Oh.
She made up a fake asthma illness.
Salman Rushdie, her attorney? It looks like Salman Rushdie, I swear to God.
I think we have pictures that he took of you. They've been seen, right?
I don't know.
I think we do. Here are some of the photos that Polanski took of you.
Yeah, she looks about 11.
My mom took.
Oh, this is your mother. This went up.
Where was your mother?
Right. What was going through your mind when he was taking pictures of you? Did you want to be a model?
It all seemed very professional. It was very professional. I felt like I wasn't doing a great job and not taking direction.
This isn't the interview where he messes it up. No. He was talking to Deborah Tate. He was giving direction, and I remember
Oh.
And he said, have you ever talked to Roman Polanski? She said, I have. He goes, how can you have a civil conversation with someone who so brutally murdered your sister? She goes, Roman didn't murder my sister. I'm sorry. And the fact is...
Roman Polanski mixed up with Charles Manson.
Yeah. And her response, oh man, her response.
What'd she say?
Roman didn't murder my sister.
Oh boy.
Larry.
All right. Tomorrow, Trudy's in.
Yeah.
And of course, Maz and Brandon, Trudy again. So another week. Jay, you want to take us out? We're about a little over 2 hours. I swear I didn't think we'd make it 2 hours today. I thought
really?
There's just not enough going on to do 2 hours of podcast.
We didn't even get to Tiger Woods.
Well, we might need him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tiger, a little more of the police reports available.
The Cash Me Outside chick, too.
Oh, is she making some news?
Yeah. Her big tour of two cities has been postponed.
Oh, no! What happened?
Her manager said, we have some very interesting initiatives for Danielle that we hope to announce soon. They pulled the shows the day before tickets went on sale to focus on a larger, yet-to-be-announced project.
A larger project.
This is the end of this idiot.
That was a pretty good project, $50,000 a pop.
Yeah.
I don't know how much larger. I have a feeling it suddenly is like, wait, I have to do what? I have to earn this money? I knew she would freak out. I mean, when forced to put on a couple-hour show or something, a 13-year-old? I don't think so. All right, have a good...
Oh, go ahead.
Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.